The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back after another big week for the Brightside. We're going to talk about that and a bunch of other stuff, and also spoiler-free about the Umbrella Academy until we get into comic news, do our recommendations. Then we go full spoilers, talking Umbrella Academy, the Netflix series, the book, the differences, all that fun stuff. And don't forget to listen at the end for our sponsors and how you could save some money. Let's head on into the store. Let's go. Hey, John, it's great to be home.
It's great to be home.
Home.
I've been home.
Home. I am home.
Where have you been?
I've been all over the place.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. All over the place. Up and down the East Coast. And it's nice to be back here at Arkham Comics and Games.
Oh, man. It is great to have you.
In Pearland, Texas.
Oh. Located at 5074 Broadway Street, Pearland, Texas.
Yeah, for everybody out there that wants to take a drive. Right. Yep, I've been out and about, and I got us a new sponsor.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. I got us A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles from,
I like that.
From Matthews, North Carolina.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I like that name, A. Penny.
I know. So I was down there, and I went. I went on the old Google machine, and right. I looked up, you know, comic stores, comic book stores, and there were a few. One was a, I don't remember the name of it, but none of them struck me like the A. Pennyworth, the name.
Right.
So it actually was a half hour out of our way. So I went. I went over there. Walked in, place similar to yours, little smaller store than yours, yeah. All comic books. And I just, guy behind, there was a Sunday, guy behind the counter. I said, hey, you the owner? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm DJ. I from Brightside. I do this. He goes, oh yeah, I've heard of you. No, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, wow.
No. And he's like, oh, I'm Tony. He's the owner. And we had this awesome conversation for like a half hour. And meanwhile, my wife, Jen's walking around right. the store, and there's other customers in the store, and there's a line. So like, and every time I turn to the people, I go, oh, are you guys all set? You wanna check out? And they're like, no, they were looking at like figurines and stuff in the glass. And so finally we just kept talking, and Jen comes over and she takes my wallet. She's like, takes my wallet from me, takes the credit card, she puts it into the machine. She's like checking me out to get us out of there, because she's like, the one, she wanted to leave. And the right. she goes, there was a line. I go, there was no line. She goes, no, they were waiting, but they were just trying not to be right on top of you. But he's the owner. He can see
right.
this.
He should be collecting money, man.
Yeah, and the funny thing, it wasn't me, believe it or not.
Right.
And I said to Jen, it's like, so we drove home from there. Part of our long drive home was, I was like, this is what it's like. All of these owners, all of these customers that I'm talking to in all these stores, they're just like us. They just want to talk. They just, right. I mean, I came in and I'm like, I couldn't have said, I was like, oh, you want to be a sponsor? And he's like, yep. Jen was like, you didn't even tell him what you wanted.
Right. It's like, I want your firstborn. I want.
Yeah. So, no.
I want a bag of cash delivered every Tuesday at 3 p.m.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. Tony is awesome. He was telling us about like the history of his store, where it came from. He was actually, this is pretty funny, he was actually across the street years before, but they had to get out of there because they shared the area they shared was with a massage parlor. And he
was Robert Kraft there?
No, and that's what he said. He looked right at Jen and he goes, yep, that kind. Jen started laughing. And I made the joke. I go, well, I'm up in Massachusetts, so I can appreciate that humor. And he didn't get it. I was like,
he didn't get
no,
it. Well, because
so,
he's not in Massachusetts.
Right. Well, yeah, but the whole country knows about Kraft. And,
right.
But yeah, so it was pretty funny. It was, But yeah, he, again, another owner that's, you know, just dying to talk. If, you know, go into these stores, if you're not talking to people, just do it. It's so easy. Right. They're great. It's great. So he's, yeah, he's, I'm shipping him out some stuff along with yours. And he's going to, yeah, he's going to support us and support our listeners. So
I'm only the co-host, so I don't know why I should have anything to put up in my store.
Yeah. But... well, I just got stuff from the printers and it's all going on. All the local stores have it and people are talking about it and stuff. So it's working. It's working. So,
yeah.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you, did you listen to our podcast last week?
Did I listen to our podcast?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I listen to it every week.
Okay. Do you want to double check? Are you still not a woman?
I don't think so.
Did you notice that in that podcast, it was like cringeworthy when I listened to it. It was like, there was one part where it was like every 40 seconds we were like, well, I'm not a woman, but.
Right.
Because we're talking Captain Marvel and we're like trying to relate to a woman, but we had to keep specifying that we're not
women. But we really don't, and we're just mansplaining like what we think it should be.
Right, exactly. I was like...
This is how you should feel if you're a woman, but right. I'm not a woman, so I don't really know.
On our long trip, on our long drive, Jen and I listened to it, and we were cracking up. Like, I go, I should put a compilation together to be like me and you. I think we each said it like six times, so it'd be like, I'm not a woman, I'm not a woman, I'm not a woman, I'm not a woman, but.
You know, we're due for another... another bloopers reel at the end of one of our shows. So,
well, if we make a mistake, I'll make one.
Yeah. Well, I only recorded our little funny intro about 97 times.
Yeah.
So.
Well, with all the sponsors we're getting, it's getting to be less and less funny and more needed.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't know if last week was our best work, but we'll try to make it better this week.
Yeah. No. So, did you stay up late the other night for the Disney merger? Well, it would have been...
Well, not necessarily late, because it was only 11 o'clock
here.
Yeah,
your time.
But I wasn't sitting around waiting for the ball to drop or some magical transformation to occur like you were. No.
I just wanted to make sure... I was exhausted. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything, you know, like...
Right. Bob Iger was waiting for 1202 to make every announcement he's ever going to make.
The release of Secret Wars is coming, so.
Right.
But yeah, that was awesome news to finally have it happen, and now it's just what's going to happen.
Well, it was great news, and I read an article today that said really don't expect anything till about 2021, which lines up because that's 2 years from now, and that's about how long it would take to put anything from concept to finished product anyway, so. I don't know if anybody was expecting anything sooner than that anyway.
Can I just fangeek out and say that the end credit scene of Endgame will have, like, Hugh Jackman in it?
Well, you know, it could.
I know. It's that.
It won't, but it could.
How awesome would that be? It's, would that not just, like, turn the world upside down?
It would be awesome. It would be awesome, but I don't think he's coming back to the role. Again, this is a little bit of speculation still, but I read another article today that said the only character that's not getting completely recast or rebooted is Deadpool. So, I wouldn't expect to see anybody back except for, Ryan Reynolds.
That'll be cool anyways.
Well, and maybe his cast of characters like the Colossus.
Yeah, the Deadpool people.
Teenage Warhead. Yeah. Yep. But,
what'd you think of the latest Endgame trailer, or did you not watch it?
I did not watch it. I did not watch it. You know my feeling on watching trailers. Although, this is the third time I've said this in 2 minutes, but I read another article saying that the Russo brothers, I guess, went on record saying that they purposely put misleading information in the trailers throw people off.
But they've said that before. That's what I've been saying. They do this on purpose. Yeah. It's part of the ride. It's like you watch it so that... Because if I feel like... So, like, if you don't watch it, I feel like the movie could potentially be not as good because the misleading is, like, you know, like, if you're on a haunted ride and they make you look to the left, they'll have a flashing light, so you're looking there.
Right,
only so that you don't see the guy on the right that's about to jump out and make you crap your pants. So you know what I mean? So right. I think that's what the Russo brothers doing. And it's like, and if a lot of people like yourself are taking that approach of like, look, I just want to go and be surprised. It's like, there's something to be, I believe there's something to be said for, you'll miss the surprise, or it won't be as surprising if you don't participate in the trailers. Right. But to each his own.
I did see enough to know my new favorite character is Mo Hawkeye, but...
Mo Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Nice. Did you make that up for yourself, or was it in one of the many articles you read?
I wish I could take credit for it, but I read it somewhere on the internet. But it did make me laugh. I thought it was, like, the greatest thing I've ever read.
That's
so
good.
I don't know what's up with that hair. Somebody else said that was, you know, that was the half that got snapped off when Thanos snapped his fingers.
Oh.
He was getting a haircut or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, you didn't really miss much. It's just a great trailer. Black and white.
I mean, I'm just
red.
At this point, I'm just ready. You know,
it's only
like the rest of the like the rest
away.
Of the world. You know, I don't think I've got a new take by saying I'm ready for this movie to come out, but you know, I am ready. So,
yeah. All right. James Gunn, you excited?
I am excited. I was a little bit surprised by that. You know, he's walking both worlds now, right? He's going to direct Suicide Squad 2 for DC and then jump right over to Guardians 3 for Marvel.
Yeah.
I think it's a smart move on their part, and, you know, I think it's going to be a better movie because of it. But I was a little surprised to see them reverse their decision on that, because after the huge petition that went out, Disney stood firm and said they weren't going to hire him back, even though he had a ton of support behind him. So I was glad to see it, though. I think it's going to be awesome. Although it just pushes Guardians a little bit further back
right.
for us now.
The
because
whole
of,
snafu pushes Guardians out. But
although they didn't have a director anyway, so it wasn't like it was coming next week regardless. I think it was a couple of years away no matter what.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But yeah, but now it's even further because had that not happened, they could be starting now.
Right. And honestly, it's only fair, right? They're using his script. They've said all along that they were going to use his script. So if he's good enough to use his script, then he's good enough to direct your movie.
Right.
You know, I mean,
but
it's already going to say, it's already going to say, no, but I mean, his character is good enough.
Right.
If his character was good enough to use his script, then his character is good enough to direct it. Because his name was still going to be on the movie.
Right.
It was still going to say written by James Gunn. So
right.
regardless, he was involved. So it just doesn't make sense not to have him direct it.
Yeah.
And plus now you get Dave Bautista, you know, to buy back in because, you know, he was not too happy with that decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really want Dave Bautista mad at me. And I'm sure the mouse didn't want him mad at him either. So.
Yeah. So, did you see...
Stephen Amell's already got... Now, Stephen Amell's on his bad side, so...
Why? Oh, but see, I think that's all a joke.
Yeah,
They're both big into wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. There was a little fake beef going back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
About WrestleMania
or
something, some such thing.
And
he says, please don't kill me, Dave.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And what's funny is, if you listen to Stephen Amell, he sounds like Dave Bautista. I listened to him in an interview. Michael Rosenbaum, I think it was somebody.
Yeah.
He was, and Dave Bautista was saying that about. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody before he was big, and before he was even big into wrestling, he was just a normal guy. I think he was at like a Comic-Con or something, and he was trying to get out there, and somebody took him in, and that's why he's always had that. That humble, it might even have been Michael Rosenbaum. It was like, because he was bigger at the, or something, but he's very humble. He's not the character that Stephen Amell was portrayed. Like they were like, it's like, that's not how he is. He's not like that at all. And he is playing a villain, I guess, now in the wrestling. So it's kind of part of,
is he?
Well, that's what I was reading. So. It's kind of part of the character, I guess.
I don't follow wrestling.
I don't
anymore,
either.
So.
I used to, but
I used to when I was a kid because my dad was really into it. So every Saturday night or Sunday morning or whatever it was wrestling. You know, my dad and I had to watch wrestling.
I was big into the, you know, the Hulk Hogan, Hacksaw, the George the Animal, and all
George the Animal Steel. Yeah, he was like one of my favorites.
Yeah, Superfly.
Yeah,
all those guys. But yeah, that was back. Well, way, way, way back.
Well, yeah, that's we're showing our age again.
Yeah, exactly. Superfly, what's that?
Yeah.
New kind of jeans?
Spanish fly, Superfly.
No, don't start that. hey, did you see our, I'm pretty sure you did, our superhero podcast review? From
Did I see our superhero
I
podcast review?
I sent it to
review?
You. The guy that reviewed us out of the blue? The review, I think, on Twitter.
No, we talked the one we talked about last week.
Nope. No.
Oh, no.
Just
I don't think I did, man.
Guy did a write-up for us.
Oh, yes, yes. I was thinking Twitter, I mean, like, iTunes reviews.
No, no,
like,
no.
I didn't see another one.
No.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I did see it.
No, it's, and I wrote, you know, it was, I thought it was a great review.
Yeah.
Definitely fair, even though he ended it with unsubscribed.
Well,
because it's not for him.
It's not his thing. I mean,
right.
He didn't have a problem with us necessarily or anything that we did. It was the content. He's not a comic book guy. He's really a movie guy.
Right.
And it's just not his thing. But I think he actually, I don't think he had anything really negative to say about us.
No.
I thought it came off pretty fair, and I was actually encouraged by it. It's just, like I said, we're not for everybody. And
no,
that's fine,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I'm not for everybody. I know that. I'm definitely an acquired taste.
I've been driving up and down the East Coast looking for a host.
I know, right?
Hey, that rhymes. No, there was actually two quotes in there that I liked. The discussion on the Amazing Spider-Man run was also quite interesting, though I initially thought it was going to be more about the movie rather than the comics, but I still enjoyed the episode. So that right there was like, you know, he clicked on it because he thought it was about the movie. But
right.
Then he stuck around, and he actually liked it. So I was happy with that. I'm like, we're doing something right. And,
yeah.
You know. And then the end, in his verdict, he says, I would definitely recommend this if you want to hear about the latest comics, especially if you're a speculator who tries to buy comics that may actually increase in value over time. But it's just not quite for me, despite the fact that I'm all for the title and the spirit of the podcast to highlight the bright side of multimedia rather than harsh criticism. So... You know,
yeah,
that
it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, and he even gave us a good review on audio quality, which I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, me too.
He mustn't have heard the one where I was partially unplugged.
Right.
But yeah, no, I was like, people are finding us now out of nowhere. What's up
yeah.
with that?
I know, right?
Just hanging out in the store, people walking by reviewing us. What else was the other one? Oh, and then... Obviously, this week I was on the Bat Pod. I was
yes.
a guest host on the Bat Pod. Did you hear that?
Grab your bat microphone. It's time to start the show.
Check out the Bat Pod with your host, Bill Beer.
This was
an issue. Yes. Have you ever had a cucumber sandwich? And his co-host, Joey Galvez.
I mean, I like it. You know, cucumber water. Have you ever had that? It's so refreshing.
Topic of the week.
I really love the Michael Keaton Batman, the Tim Burton Batman.
Thought you were going to mention Batman and Robin for a minute. You know, George Clooney had you hello or
character spotlights.
The Condiment King was a guy named Buddy Standler, a former stand-up comedian. But, you know,
stump your co-host segments.
Okay, where's your Batman card? Just go ahead and send that to me.
Sorry.
And we'll rip that up. Okay.
You can find the Bat Pod on the nerdylegion.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google Play, and we're now on Stitcher. The Bat Pod is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Network.
Your crime fighting collective. It's the Bat Pod.
What the blue bacon?
I did hear that.
Did you get a little jealous?
I was a little jealous, but
well,
I know
you're
you
the Batman guy.
I know you liked it because you got to be me in this scenario.
Yeah,
and you just got to show up and talk.
Yeah,
didn't actually have to do any work. And,
oh yeah,
you know, that's how I roll. So
yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, Joey,
don't get used to it.
Oh.
That's all I have to say.
No, it was great. I literally, we just got home. I sat down on the couch on Monday. We've been driving for like 10 hours. And I hadn't looked at my phone all the entire drive because I'm driving. So I see that Joey had put out a recommendation on Twitter for our podcast, which I appreciate. He's going to get onto iTunes. He said he's getting an iPhone soon. But he really liked our podcast. We had talked in the past. He liked our, I think he said it in the podcast too. He liked our bio about being right. positive and stuff like that. So we had talked in the past, but then he just all of a sudden, I thanked him and he's like, hey, what are you doing? You want to hop on? I was like, sure. Just sat down? yeah. Sure. And so we did. And it's, you know, like an hour or two later, we hop on and it was great. And,
yeah.
you know, we're going to be doing it in the future. He wants both of us. That's a great podcast.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the first one I listened to was the one that you were on. But I really enjoyed the show. I thought they were pretty insightful about the comics. I skipped the Nightwing part because I'm not caught up on Nightwing, so I didn't want to hear about that comic, but I thought they had some good insights on the Batman and Detective comics that they talked about. So
it was funny. He texts me, he DMs me last night, because I think, what was it, yesterday? It went out yesterday morning. So he told me it was going out in the morning. I'm like, okay, so we recorded it Monday night. It went out yesterday morning. And I listened to it in the day, and I sent it to my family and stuff like that. Told them where they have the show notes just like us, where the minutes are. So it's literally 9 o'clock at night, and I'm texting my son, and I'm like, hey, have you listened to that podcast yet? It's a pretty good podcast. I go, and I'm at like the 55 minute mark or whatever it was, right? And while I'm texting him, Joey DMs me, and I see it come across my screen. Have you listened to the podcast yet? Well, it's like, yeah. So, yeah. And I actually told him, I said, you know, I haven't read Nightwing. I haven't gotten into Nightwing, but it's one that I've been on the fence with. But you and I read so much that it's like,
yeah.
I kind of like stay away because I'm like, if I pick something else up, I'm going to be.
Well, that's the problem is I read like the first 13 issues or so, which I enjoyed. But I'm 50 or so issues behind now.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't know when I'm going to get to it. I'm really interested in his current, like, the current story arc that's going on
yeah.
with him post shooting and all that stuff. But I'm just not caught up on it. So I didn't want to hear that because I do want to get to it eventually. But, you know, my eventually pile is higher than my red pile. So
let me show you this. Their podcast the other night, or yesterday, I'm in the store today, and
where's the other one?
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go old.
Picked up some Nightwing.
Yeah, yep. I picked up 56, 57. I'm going old school. I'm just jumping in the middle, and I'll pick it up from
well,
there.
Well, I think if you really want to get the current, just what the current story is, I think it was issue 50 is the one where... I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but
yeah.
most people know he got shot. So
yeah.
I guess even for me, I think at this point, I'm just going to start at 50 and go forward because I'm never going to get to reading
right.
13 through 49.
Yeah.
I've got too many other books to read.
So, yeah. So, I mean, even obviously I'm reading the same Batman stuff that I'm caught up on pretty much all the stuff they're talking about with Batman, but
right.
Yeah, I even listened to the Nightwing, and I was like, you know what? I like the way they described it. Obviously, it was loaded with spoilers because their whole
right.
podcast is like, read first, which is great. So it was, I liked their review of Nightwing, and I was like, all right, I'll get into it.
Something else to buy.
Another book to read. Yeah. What else? So this week, before we get into our comics, let's talk a little bit about Umbrella Academy, spoiler-free. What did you like about it?
What I really liked about it, you know, I'm trying to think how to say this without spoilers, but I like the fact, you know, most people know you can read from the description before you even watch it, that it's about these like 43 babies that are all born at the same time, all over the world, to women who didn't show any signs of being pregnant prior to giving birth.
Right.
But they don't explain why or how or anything about that occurrence.
Right.
And I love the fact that when we got to episode 10, we still didn't know.
Right.
Like, I just really liked that that was not something they felt like they had to explain to us. They never really gave us any answers to that, even though it's kind of a burning question. Like, well, why did this happen? How did it happen? But I kind of like the fact that they kept us guessing about that.
Right.
And they never, you know, again, not to give spoilers away, but they never really tell it. Like, maybe you get it in season two or season three. I don't know, because I'm not caught up on reading the books.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it's just as big of a mystery in the books, too.
Yes.
That they don't really feel the need to explain that. And I just kind of thought that was refreshing, because most shows feel the need to spoon-feed you everything. They don't take the intelligence of the viewer really into account.
Right.
That or they can just...
Or the creativity of the viewer. Like, because you can use
Let us kind of come up with our own theories and let us fill in the gaps on our own.
And that, for me, that's a great way to put it, too, because that's what's getting me to, like, season two. Like, okay, am I right? Am I wrong? Am I ever going to know?
We may never know.
You may never know, because I don't... By the end of the season... No questions have been answered. You have no idea what it's literally a 10 episode story, and you really don't know anything. It's like it you have to see it to understand it, and we'll get into it after we do comic books. But I read the book, the comic book. It's obviously it's Apocalypse Suite, and the book is crazier than the show. And
which is saying something.
Yeah.
The show's pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy. It's actually more graphic. It's different. We'll get into that in spoilers. Which I almost kind of don't want to do, but I guess we can't, because it's like, if you've read the book but haven't seen the show, then you know what I mean? Or if you've seen the show and you haven't read the book.
I haven't read the book, and I do want to read it eventually, but I'm okay with going through it. And,
I'll tell you some differences. It's basically the same story, but they added a lot more to the TV show, because honestly, when you read the book, you'll see it's a 3-episode show. It's only 6 comic books. So it's only 6 books. It's a really fast read. All the information is there. The basic story is there, but they elaborated on a bunch and added some stuff, and we'll talk about that later. But I really liked it.
And I just like the character. Like, I really like the characters.
Yeah.
They were... You know, this is a makeshift family, right? They all get adopted by the same guy, so they all kind of are considered brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
but obviously,
7 of them.
Every single one of them came from a different mother and a different family, so they're not related in any way, except for the fact that they grew up together in the same house.
That we know of right now.
Well, right, that we know of right now. But I just think that the characters, every single character was fleshed out and was, you know, you had their... You could follow their story arc, and I felt like you got to know every single character. Not one of the characters was left behind, I don't think.
Right.
I think they did a good job with that.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, when you read a book and then you see a movie, and we say this all the time. We're like, oh, they left out so much stuff.
Right.
This one's reverse.
Right, they added so much.
They added so much background to each character that's not in the book. So, if you're listening and you haven't read or seen the show, I almost recommend seeing the show and then going back and reading the book after, because
So I did it right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I really, because so that. Obviously that's the way I did it, so I'm kind of leaning towards that way. I think, I don't know, maybe if you flew through the, you know, you pick up the book, you read it, you could literally read it in a sitting, and then you watch the 10 episodes. I don't know. I don't have that perspective, but I really did like, because I knew the characters, or I saw what they were going to elaborate on in, you know, what they elaborated on. There's a few differences with the characters as well, but it's not huge.
Well, I almost think that, you know, even though this TV show was based around that first miniseries of Umbrella Academy, there's more out there. There's more material out there. So we probably got the characters that were more developed through, like, all the miniseries. Like, we got a sneak peek of what they're going to become before they actually become that, I think, is... because obviously the people that were writing the TV show probably had all the information. You know, they've read all the books. And they knew these characters, how they're going to be, I think. And I'm just guessing because I haven't read it.
Yeah, but when you see it...
I think that's the case that...
Yeah, there's a couple things that are different that I don't know if that's... It's not going to change in the future. They added a couple of things. And we'll talk about that in spoilers, obviously. One last thing on this before we move on. I came up with a cool way we could score some of these shows and stuff.
Here we go again. Yeah, back to scoring.
No, because we do this anyways. I was thinking we call it the Daredevil score. Because we base everything off of Daredevil, even though
it wasn't Daredevil season 3, but...
Yeah, exactly. So where would you put this one? The show, obviously, not the book.
Well, it's behind Daredevil. Nothing has changed my mind on this yet that I still believe that Daredevil season 3 is the best 13 hours of television I've ever seen. You know, there's shows that it might be better because they've had longer, you know, longer runs.
Are you forgetting who shot JR?
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, you know, right now I'm pretty deep down the Battlestar Galactica rabbit hole again.
Oh, man. I went down that years ago.
Well, I did too. I actually just finished watching it about a year ago again, and now we're getting a little bit off track, but I started listening to another podcast, the Battlestar Galacticast.
Yeah, I listened to it too. That's awesome.
So when I started listening to it, I said, well, I'm going to do what they're doing, and I'm just going to follow along. Well, yeah, besides drink. I said, I'll watch one episode a week, and then I'll listen to the podcast, and I'll kind of follow along with them. But... the show's too damn good. Like, I'm already 10 episodes ahead of the podcast. I'm into season 3 again already because as soon as one show ends, I just go right into the next one.
So where are you watching this now? You have to pay for it, don't you, or do you own it?
Say Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's on Prime? It. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on Prime. So I've been watching it there. But, you know, I came to Battlestar late. I didn't watch it when it actually aired the first time around. But this is my third go-through of it now. And it's, I think now, you know, I grew up a Star Trek guy, but I think this is the best science fiction TV show ever. I think Battlestar is just fantastic. I really can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
So to me, it's up there with Daredevil as far as what I would put as like one of the best series. But if I was going to compare Umbrella Academy to Daredevil, it still doesn't. It doesn't pass Daredevil for me.
I would say Daredevil's better than Battlestar as a one-off season, but Battlestar as a whole is probably the best seasons. It really is on so many levels. And I remember when it came out, and I remember the original, and then when that one came out, I was kind of intrigued by the miniseries, and I was blown away by that. And then by the time you get to the end of all the seasons.
It's so good.
Usually you slow down, but by the end of it, I didn't want it to end, but it was a crazy, amazing ride and story that.
Yeah, all the way through. And like I said, I know the story. I've seen it a couple times, but I still can't pace myself. Like I watched like 5 episodes last night. Even though we'll be late getting off of this tonight, I'll probably go knock back at least 2 episodes before I go to bed.
Yeah, I'll be working hard on our sound quality.
Yeah, I'll be watching Battlestar. but I guess to get back to your question, I'll give Umbrella Academy like 2.5 Daredevils.
No, just where it ranks. We're not giving it Daredevils. How many horns would you give it? Yeah.
I don't think it beats Daredevil.
No, just where it ranks. So,
but it's still pretty good.
It's good.
I tell you what, it's better than Iron Fist. Not quite as good as Daredevil. It's on par with maybe Jessica Jones season 2. I don't know.
No, I think it. I mean, I was just saying, like, we always compare everything to Daredevil, but it's definitely worth a watch.
For sure.
And it actually is very encouraging for the future too, for Netflix and their, you know, Dark Horse Comics and what they're going to be doing coming up. So,
well, right. I think we talked about this when we actually, I guess we talked a little bit about Umbrella Academy once before, because we talked about Netflix, you know, obviously losing all the Marvel properties, but they seem to be picking up, you know, they've got the Dark Horse, but they've also picked up like the Mark Millar. Prodigy is coming. Reborn is coming.
They're getting all the indies.
Something else. Oh, Magic Order is coming. Yeah. So, and I think they've got, actually, I don't know who signed on for Why the Last Man with Brian K. Vaughan, but I actually don't think it was Netflix. It might be Sci-Fi. So that doesn't really have anything to do with Netflix, but we were kind of worried about
but people are picking up these books.
Well, we were worried about the original programming for Netflix with them losing all the Marvel stuff, and then obviously they're not going to get any DC stuff because of DC Universe. So they seem to be the place to go for the indies and Image and Dark Horse and some of those things. And hey, that's still rich material. Like, I'm all in for that too. Because quite honestly, once Disney Plus launched, I could drop Netflix and just stay, just keep Disney and DC Universe. But I like Stranger Things a lot, and now with Umbrella Academy and some of this other stuff, they're still going to get my $10 a month. So
I'm wondering if it's going to go to, like, so I'll have Disney Plus year round.
Day one.
And I'll have DC Universe year round, just because I enjoy flipping through their content. But I could totally see myself picking up and dropping Netflix here and there. Like, you pick it up for a month, watch the series, and then you drop it. Because you don't need to have it all the time.
I could see that as well. I mean, I'm a T-Mobile customer, so I get free Netflix. So I guess I can't complain.
That's
but
nice.
If I was actually paying for it, I would probably do that. Because that's what I think I'm going to do with CBS pretty soon, because I want to watch Discovery.
Yeah,
Star Trek, and I'm just gonna binge. You know, I'm just gonna pay for a month and binge two seasons, and then turn it off. So,
yeah, I've done it with HBO now because.
Honestly, once Game of Thrones ends, I'm dropping HBO too.
Yeah, we dropped it like 3 or 4 months ago, and my brother's recommend this show's on it that I want to see, but I'm like, well, I know I'm gonna be picking it up in April, so I'll pick it up for like 2 months and then drop it again. It's because it really is getting so expensive to carry all these things, and like
it is
like HBO. I all the movies I want to watch, I liked it with for the kids here. They like to flip the channels, but they're not here anymore. Right. And all the movies I own, I want to see them in high quality, not cable.
I haven't watched a movie on HBO in years.
Yeah,
I either watch.
Do they still do the thing where they go inside the O and the lasers go around?
I don't know, but yeah, it's all original programming. And now they're to the point where most of what I like to watch has ended. The only thing left is Game of Thrones. And I think Veep, which I like a lot, has got its last season coming up.
Yeah.
So once those are done, I'm done with HBO. I don't think I'll carry it anymore. Because, we're going to have to start making choices now. You're not going to be able to keep everything.
Yeah. Well,
it's just too expensive. Same thing. My wife likes Outlander on Stars. We turned it on for a month. We binged all 10 episodes, and then we just turned it back off again.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
There's nothing else on Stars that I need to see. And like you, I buy all the movies that I want because I want to watch them in 4K and Atmos and all that other stuff. So there's no reason for HBO anymore with that.
Oh, speaking of that, I got the Atmos. Let me go off on my little tangent here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, awesome. Spider-Man. Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, did you watch that?
I didn't
get... Did they have that?
I didn't
alternate universe version on
it? I haven't had a chance to look for that yet. Okay. I picked it up yesterday, and when I got home, I put it in, cranked up the theater to, you know, reference level, yeah. And there's scenes, and let me just geek out. I need a sounder for this, and I was going to, you know, but it's the surround sound on that movie, and it's
pretty awesome.
It's so much better in person, in your home, with a good system than it was in the theater. It's, yeah. There's, I know, you have a good system too. And there's some scenes where the bass is so deep and the screen moves, like it shakes like no sound on. It's just what they do with the film. It's like the whole screen is shaking because they know there's an explosion. But in conjunction with the bass, you're sitting there and the screen's shaking, the image is shaking and you're shaking. And it was just such a great movie. And the art, seeing it on my screen in person and being able to, there's so much stuff I want to go back and look at. Yeah. There's actually a scene at the beginning. I don't know if you saw this. If you look on one of the TV screens, the newscast in the background, and it shows one of the, I can't figure out which character it is, but coming through, they're already right here, but it's before Miles gets his powers. Right. So it's like, that whole conversation that we had, like, when does Gwen come through? When does it?
Right.
So, but there was somebody on the news coming through already, and I don't know if it was Spider-Ham or somebody, but
what, right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, we've been doing so much comic book stuff. We've been doing, and it's like, I haven't been in my theater, and that was just awesome. Right. And it's, what a great disc.
I was going to say, you know, you've been in my house, so you know the room that I'm recording in relation to where my TV and my living room is.
Yeah.
So I have a picture on the wall behind me. It's a Green Lantern picture.
Wait a minute. We're recording at Arkham Comics and Games in Pearland, Texas.
You're right. But anyways, where I would be recording if I was recording in my house, I have a picture on the wall. And it was funny because every time I would come in the room, it would be crooked. And I was like, why is this thing nuts? Like, why can't this picture stay straight on my wall? I don't understand. I was like, I put these little rubber feet on it so it wouldn't move. I was like, this picture just won't stay straight. And I couldn't figure it out. And then one day I came in here while I was watching something in the living room. And I didn't pause it. I just left it running. And I came in here. And the entire wall was shaking.
Yeah.
From the base,
right.
From my living room, which is half a house away.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's why it's not straight, because every time I turn the TV on, this whole room is shaking. So
can I give you some advice?
Yeah.
Plumber's putty.
Yeah.
Put it on both bottom corners and it'll stick to the wall. It won't shift.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I listened to this podcast. We're still geeking out here. So there's this other podcast I listen to. It's called AV Rant. And it's called that because one of the hosts, all he does is get angry at people. And right. The other guy, he's in Canada, very knowledgeable. It's ridiculous. So the whole entire podcast is people emailing, tweeting questions to them about AV gear.
Right.
So you have a question on, like, what kind of TV you want, you contact these people. And then they read it on the air. Their podcasts are, like, 2 hours, 2.5 hours long. I love this stuff. When I was down at your house, and, you know, I leave in the morning, go to the store, that's what I'm listening right. to. I love that right. podcast. My wife puts it on to go to sleep. But this guy gets so angry.
This is an endorsement.
Yeah, exactly. It's you need to really be able to, like, you look at the back of an AV rack and see all those wires, and that gets you right. excited that this is the podcast for you. But yeah. Anyways, people will write in with questions like what you just said. So, my frames keep shaking. What can I do? What? Really? Right. This is AV Rant, not home decor. Exactly. And the guy flips out. It's so funny. And my other favorite one, and they get it almost every week. So my room only has three walls. Is there a way I can keep the bass in without the wall be? It's like, what do we got, an air curtain for bass?
Right.
It's like, no, like, you need walls.
You cannot.
You can't get what's called pressurization. That's a whole other thing. But we've gone way off
that's
on
my
a tangent.
Yeah, that's my biggest downfall in this house is, you know, my TV's in a big open room.
Yeah.
And I still can't really get the sound that I'd like to have, but, you know.
Oh, well.
I'll live with it.
Yeah. But you can read comic books on your couch, which is, that's our podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, before, let me do this. On Tuesday night, you and I, we're going to be at Friendly Neighborhood Comics.
So I'm going to start driving now.
You start driving now. No, I think we'll get you in the door. We'll figure out a way to get you there quicker.
Yeah.
For the midnight release of Detective Comics 1000.
Right.
So, obviously, our podcast will record Tuesday night at we're going live. So anybody listening that goes to Friendly Neighborhood Comics, we're going to be there. And if you want to jump in on the podcast, we're going to make that possible, too.
Awesome.
And Ernie's giving away a bunch of stuff, too. Ernie's the owner. He's giving away a Detective Comics 1000 poster. I don't know if you have it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's the advertisement that you look inside when you open up. I've seen the poster. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And he's also giving away a New York Comic Con exclusive and a Comics Pro exclusive. It's all being raffled off. He was telling me today, he's like, there's going to be a bunch of other stuff. So if you listen to this, and I know we actually have listeners from that store, I think they're going to be open at till midnight. I think they're opening at 10:30, something like that, or reopening. And then they're closing at like 12:05. So it's going to be.
I don't know how they're doing that.
Well, what they're doing is they're getting everything together, and they'll have their piles so you can have your stuff here, but you can't check out until midnight.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't want to be there.
It's
going to
take more
than
5 minutes. Yeah. When I do these, it's usually 1:30.
Yeah. Well, I guess they've done them. They have a system. Because I was like, oh, we'll be on at 11:30. We'll go to like 1 if you want. He's like, oh, no, we're out of here. So I think you and I will be on from like 11 to 12 or something like that, or maybe even quarter of or whatever. Or maybe we'll be on until we could, quote unquote, see the book. Because I can't see it. You can. You're the owner.
Yeah,
so
I'll have seen it already. But
so we'll do that. And but that's going to be a good time. I'm really looking forward to that if we can set up this on the go thing.
Right.
So, all right. We've been talking for a while here.
Yeah, we're 45 minutes in and we haven't even started. So
yeah, we have.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So how am I spending my money this week?
All right, so looking at our speculator books for this week, the first one on our list is Avengers No Road Home number 6. So the heat really picked up last week with number 5. The last page had the cameo of Conan, which is technically his first appearance in the Marvel Universe. And, of course, this is number 6 is, you know, really his first full appearance. So we've talked before about how Conan is going to be brought into the Marvel Universe proper and going to actually interact with Marvel characters. So I didn't get a chance to read this one yet. I did read number 5, and of course we didn't really get any answers. Yeah, DJ's taunting me by holding it up in front of me. But they didn't really explain anything about how Conan got there, and I expect that that'll be answered for us in this issue here. Cheap copies on eBay are already gone. The only listed copy I could see when I was looking this up was at $13. So that's 3 times cover price already. Well, 2.5 times cover price already. And looks to be another hot book. Number 5 sold out pretty quickly. I still had a few of these when I left today, but I expect them to be gone tomorrow, if not Friday at the latest.
Yeah, it's good. I'll talk about it later.
You read it? Okay. surprising no one, the Immortal Hulk came out today, and of course that's on our list.
This is our Immortal Hulk minute.
Yeah, right. there are 2 covers for this. There's the A cover, of course, and then there's the 25th anniversary Alex Ross cover. Both of these are going for $13 to $15 a piece or higher on eBay. Again, it was just beating a dead horse to say the Immortal Hulk is the hottest comic going right now and is not slowing down with this issue here. And, you know, and again, this is just one that I still can't find the ceiling on as a store owner. I order more and more of every consecutive issue and I continue to sell out. So at some point I'm just going to have to order 50 of these and then see how many I get stuck with, because I sell out every week. Still had a couple left today, but again, by Friday morning at the latest, these will be gone. So if you can find them in the store, I would grab them. The heat is not going anywhere on the Immortal Hulk. It's not going away.
And you're not going to let it.
And I'm not going to let it. I'm going to keep talking about it. And, well, you know, I'm only talking about what people are doing. If nobody was buying it, I wouldn't be talking about it.
Right, I still haven't read it. And it's like that Nightwing thing.
Well, yeah, at this point, you just have to get it. You just have to read it.
I guess I do.
Yeah. From Aftershock Comics, and this is one that I'm going to talk about a little bit later with our recommended books, but there was a book called Dark Red Number 1. It's a vampire book. DJ again is taunting me by holding it up in front of me.
You're killing me this week.
I know. Oh, are these all the ones you wanted to talk
no,
about?
No, I had.
Well, hey, you know what? You have your speculator copy, so you are ahead of the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm talking about like recommended reading. You send me your notes. I'm like, oh crap.
Oh, those are the two that you wanted to read.
I got to read more.
I knew you were going to want to talk about Spider-Man. But
no, I didn't read.
I
that
had to
one.
Read that one.
I didn't. I didn't. Okay, that well, one I didn't read.
We'll talk about that.
I can't wait.
Dark Red Number 1 selling for about $10, and a little bit more over cover price. There's a 1 in 10 variant cover that's selling way over ratio at like $30. So again, this book looks to be hot. And
which one is the 1 in 10?
I don't have one. I only ordered 5 copies of it, so I don't really even know what it looks like, but I know that. Well, I mean, I've seen it on eBay, but
so Tony down in North Carolina is just like you.
Yeah,
I kept saying that to him about the 1 in 10s, the 1 in 25s, and this. He was. It's talking to him. I can't tell you how many times I was like, "Oh, you sound like John. You sound like you know." And so frustrated with Marvel and how they're doing that.
So, don't even get me started.
I know.
That's like picking a scab right now, let's leave that alone.
But what's funny is
it's funny to hear another smaller store that struggles with the same things that I struggle with.
It's because, not just the smaller stores. Everybody's
saying because even the larger
it,
stores are
listening
are the
to
same.
All these owners and going around and talking to these people. It's like, oh, the similarities that I'm hearing. And it's a blast for me.
Right, because the larger stores, they might not have trouble getting, say, the 1 in 10 or the 1 in 20 variants,
right.
But they still struggle when they have to meet percentages of previous books.
Yes.
Because, like, to get a certain cover, you might have to order 150% more than Avengers number 20, which you sell a bunch of copies of. And even big stores, that makes it even worse for them. Because they're getting to the point where, hey, to get this variant, I might have to order 150 copies of this book. And
so... He told me a story about going to a convention, and who is it that – who's your supplier?
Diamond.
Diamond, right.
Yeah.
And they had Marvel there, and you got to sit down every – you know, if you were there, he was there. You got an opportunity to sit down with a Marvel rep and talk to them about stuff. And he was like – he questioned them on all this stuff, and he goes, you know what the guy said? Don't buy it.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. It's
they
like, don't buy it. It's like, and we had that conversation of just like I think we said last week, or actually, I'm sorry, maybe I was talking with Joey the other night at Batpod. It's Marvel is just killing it in the theaters, and their books are like, heh. And DC is the exact opposite.
Right.
So, but it's just amazing that I'm hoping, obviously, if War of the Realms flops, we're in trouble. But
well, and I'll be honest with you, I don't have a lot of interest for that. Like, I don't have as many people calling and looking.
Oh, you mean
or
people
inquiring
looking
about
for
it.
It? Right?
Yeah. Now it hasn't come out yet, so we'll see what sales translate to. But
right.
I usually can get a good feel for how something's going to sell by pre-orders and you know things like that.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to it personally, but as a retailer, I'm not sure because, again, that's a lot of investment for us. You know, you've got 15 different miniseries. You've got War of the Realms. You've got all these variant covers. And, you know, as a smaller store, I've just resigned myself to the fact that most of these variants I'm not going to get. And I'm fine with it. Like, I don't go ranting to Marvel, even though I don't like the practice. I just know, like you said, if I qualify, I get it. If I don't, I don't jump through any hoops. I don't order extra to get a variant right. cover. But right. the problem is when I have to tell my customers, no, I can't get that. No, I can't get that. No, right. I can't get that. Because they see the pictures online, and the variant covers are always better. Like, those are the covers people are after.
Right.
And,
well, they're worth
you know,
more. They're
and you
blah,
just can't
blah,
get
blah.
Them. Right. Because right. most of the stores aren't able to get them. And that's what's frustrating. I have... I'm not going to say I've never done it, but I do not jump through those hoops. Like, if I'm ordering 7 copies of something and there's a 1 in 10 variant, I don't order those 3 extra copies just to get it. Because even though I might sell that 1 in 10 variant for $10, I lost $7 on those 3 extra books that
right.
nobody's going to buy.
Right.
And it's just not worth – it's not even so much not worth losing the $3. It's that it's not worth – the space that those extra books take up in my store.
Right.
Three unsold copies of 100 books a week, that's a long box. And, you know,
yeah.
and you start filling up long boxes every week with unsold merchandise, you run out of space pretty quickly. And you're doing a lot of 10-cent comic sales. Yeah, and money. So, anyways.
yeah.
We're way off track, but.
Nope, we're still on comics.
Yeah, two more to talk about for Speculator Books. Honor and Curse, number 2, from Mad Cave Studios. We talked about number 1 a few weeks ago. This is another one that's really, really hot right now. These things are selling for about $12. Now, Mad Cave Studios, some of these, again, I don't want to say if they benefit from, but they're a product of smaller ordering because they're a smaller studio, so stores don't order as many copies, and I think that drives up some of the pricing and some of the interest, but
yeah.
people still have to be interested in the book. Like if it was just a crappy book, nobody would care how many, you know, even if stores only ordered 1 copy, if nobody wanted it, there'd still be no demand for it. So, it looks to be a pretty good book. I haven't even been able to read it cause I can't keep a copy in the store long enough to get to read it. But like I said, $12 on Honor and Curse number 2. And then also from Mad Cave Studios, another title we've talked about a few times, Knights of the Golden Sun, number 5, came out. Same thing. The cheaper copies on eBay have been sold, and active listings are $10 to $15 on this. I looked at number 1 today. It's already jumped to $60. So, again, these books are on fire. So if you can find... any of the even though we're talking about number 5 from today, if you can find 1 through 4, if you can find any of these things for anywhere near cover price at a store, I would go ahead and grab them because they keep jumping up. Honor and Curse, I know, is an 18 issue series. I don't know how long Knights of the Golden Sun is going to go. So Honor and Curse, they're only on issue 2, came out today, so you could still probably get number 1 and follow along if you can find it. And then I would get in the store and before FOC and get subscribed to it. Otherwise, you're probably not going to be able to get the other ones. And I think that's it for Speculator Books for this week.
Cool.
I got to start
selling a couple of these so I can support my habit.
I know, right? Hey, speculating only goes is only worth anything if you actually make... you know, if you actually sell the book, right?
Right.
And so make a few dollars off of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I could... buy one and sell it for $12 and buy 3 more books. It's like
exactly that's how you find your habit. I have several vices. I'm into a lot of different collecting.
It's starting
realms.
To look like heroin's cheaper.
Yeah, right. I'm into a lot of different collectible things, and right now I'm really deep into Star Wars figures once again. Yeah, and I do that. I sell one. I get out of one thing to fund something else. I had a bunch of Mezco. It's a company that makes action figures. I had about 35 of those figures stacked up in my closet. I just sold the entire thing and turned around and spent all the money on Star Wars figures. So
yeah.
I treat my collectibles like commodities, and I fund whatever the next thing is on my radar.
I got a buddy that does that with cars.
Yeah, right.
No, really, he does.
No, I believe you, but cars are, you know, selling a few toys is not like buying and selling cars.
Well, it kind of is, and he's into the Ferraris now, so you just keep going. But it literally, he'd started off with nothing, and he just, like, buys one.
Started off with a Volkswagen and traded up to a Ferrari.
Yeah, literally just shines it up and then sold it for a little more, and you just keep rolling.
Yep.
And
yep,
he's been doing it for years. He builds
There's a guy, I'm going to say this, and it, I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to go over your head and probably a lot of people's heads, but Magic the Gathering is another thing. It's a game I've been playing for 20-plus years. But I followed a guy, and again, you won't know most of this because you don't know the cards, the game. But, you know, there's a card, you know, there's old cards that are worth, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I followed a guy that basically traded from a handful of $3 cards all the way up to this $1,000 card without spending any money.
Right.
Just he traded his way from $3 all the way up to $1,000. And it was a really cool thing to watch.
Right.
And kind of see his journey going through.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously he made some smart trades along the way and, you know, took advantage a few times, you know, and got trades that were in his favor. But you can do that, and you can do it with comics too. I saw a guy yesterday that traded – was on Facebook trying to trade Immortal Hulk 1 through 13 for an Amazing Spider-Man 300, which is the first appearance of Venom. And it doesn't seem like a fair trade, but those 13 Immortal Hulk books are worth over $300.
Yeah.
Even though he probably bought them all within the last year at cover price,
right.
Now he's going to get a $300 or $400 comic out of them. So
In
his mind, he's getting that book for $60. And that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, anyway.
Yeah, my buddy with the cars, the guy called him up and said, I got a Ferrari. And he's like, what are the papers? Meaning like, what are the service records? It had just had everything done. So it didn't cost him any. He paid $50,000 for the car.
Right.
And he picked it up in December. He texted me the pictures Christmas morning. Sold it the following September back to the same guy who called him and said, hey, I got a buyer for that car. Can you let
it
go?
It back.
He goes, I'll take it back. He goes, okay. He made $15,000.
Yeah.
Did
for
nothing.
Just to sit on it, right.
Just to sit on it, drove it for the summer and sold it in September and made $15,000.
Yep.
And I'm like, he goes, that's all you got to do, Deej. Yep.
Right, okay. That's it.
That's it? All right. Yeah.
It's so easy. why aren't we all doing it?
Let me get back to you in about 10 minutes. I got to go look for my extra $50,000.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
All right. So, jumping into our back issue books so we can buy our Ferraris. I've talked about this is, I think, the third time I've brought this book up now. Young Avengers number one.
It keeps going up.
Well, once again, the Endgame trailer hit last week, and everybody is convinced that Kate Bishop is going to appear in Endgame. Boy, you're going to be unhappy if she doesn't appear because people are spending a lot of money for this book. But
I know the speculation of her,
right.
But it could just be his daughter and she's going to, the whole family's going to disappear. That's what everybody's saying.
Right.
It's like
right.
They're out on a picnic. He's going to be hanging out and they're all going to turn to dust and it's going to be the worst opening. And I think I tweeted that out to somebody. I go, yeah, that's the point. They're bringing you so low that by the end, it's going to be like. It's going to be an amazing ending by comparison because you're going to be – the whole room's going to be in tears at the beginning.
Right. But this – like I said, this book, you know, it's starting to hit close to $100 now. You know, we started talking about this book a few months ago. We were talking about $12, $20. Now we're talking about $100. This is all speculation again on Endgame. I wouldn't go out and spend $100 on this book today because I don't know that the ceiling is going to be there in 5 weeks if it turns out to not be Kate Bishop. But these books, once they go up, if it falls, it's not going to fall as far as it was before the speculation started. Like, this will probably never be a $10 book again. Even if Kate Bishop isn't in Endgame, this book may settle down and may drop to $40 or whatever, but that's still $30 more than it was 4 months ago.
If
you can find this out there in the $35 range, I think it's still worth a pickup. Yeah. but it's worth a pickup to hold on to because even if Endgame turns out to not have Kate Bishop, you're not going to lose any money off of it. But I wouldn't go out and spend $100 on it right now.
No. Oh. I'd go out and if you can find it for cheap and flip it.
Right. If you can find it in my store like somebody else did and still get it for $4, then, you know, you're really doing well. But
again, everybody, that's Arkham Comics and Games.
Arkham Comics and Games. but I think the only time we'll talk about this book again, I guess, is after Endgame comes out, if it turns out to be Kate Bishop.
And I'll bet you can squeeze it in between now and then.
This book may see another spike. But between now and then, I don't see this getting another jump unless somehow they confirm before the movie that it really is her. And I don't see Marvel, I don't see Disney doing that. So, but you never know. If anything leaks out, we may be able to talk about it one more time. From DC, we have Dr. Fate number one. This is from 2015. There are rumors of a Dr. Fate movie being worked on at DC. So that's made this book start to rise a little bit. Selling right now for $20 to $30. This thing was not, again, this was a back issue book, probably $3 or so or less in most people's stores. There is a variant cover that's selling for about $50. I would also keep an eye on DC Convergence Aquaman number 2. This is from, I think, 2013 or so. Convergence came out. But that features Khalid Nassor, who I think they're speculating is going to be Dr. Fate. It'll be that version of Dr. Fate in the movie. Haven't seen any real pricing spikes on this book yet, but it might be one to keep an eye on. Detective Comics number 585. This is the first appearance of Ratcatcher. Also another character that's rumored to be in James Gunn's Suicide Squad movie. Last week, I think we talked about King Shark. Now we're talking about Ratcatcher. Again, we don't have a lineup confirmed, so this is all rumor. But right now, this thing's selling for $20 to $30. You can see it go up or down depending on who they confirm as cast for this movie. And from 2012, we have Marvel Point One, number one. This is the first appearance of Sam Alexander. Again, there was a rumor of a Nova film being worked on at Marvel. Sam Alexander is the current Nova, and he's the one that I guess they're speculating this movie will be based around. Selling right now for about $15, so it's not bad. If you can find one in that price range, I would go out and grab it. If nothing else, it's still the first appearance of Sam Alexander Nova. And if they're speculating about this movie, even if they don't make it now, they'll get to it eventually, or it may even show up on Disney Plus at some point. So
Disney Plus needs content.
Yeah, and if we already have the Nova Corps in the Marvel universe, so
right. The MCU.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a stretch to see Nova show up. And then the last book is Teen Titans number 12 from 2016. This first appearance of the Batman Who Laughs. This book is still hot and continuing to go up. Most recent sale on this was $125. For a book that's 2.5 years old now, this came out with Dark Knight's Metal just, like I said, about 2 years ago. So, insane pricing for that. That character is super popular. His miniseries going on right now is really good, and I think they're already talking about an ongoing series. So this is another book that's not going to go anywhere and is going to continue to rise in value. So at this point, cheap copies don't exist. If you want it, you're going to have to bite the bullet and go and get it. It's just when you want to jump on the train and get it. This could be a $200 book next year. So
jeez. It's taken
so
off.
So at a certain point, I don't own a copy personally of this, and I didn't want to jump on it for $60. And now, $60 looks pretty good. Next year when it's $200, we'll be saying $125 looked pretty good. So Sooner or later, if you want it, you're just going to have to get it. I get people coming in the store. They dig through my back issues looking for it all the time. I can hear them talking on their cell phones like, oh, Teen Titans number 12. And I'm thinking to myself, you ain't going to find that in my back issue bins.
Yeah.
I'm not that stupid. You might have found Young Avengers, but you're not going to find Teen Titans 12. And that's it for our back issue books for this week.
All right. What do we
moving
got in
into,
FOC?
Yeah, moving into Final Order Cutoff. Let's gotta try to move through it pretty quick because it's getting kind of late already. So DC variant covers, we have three. We have Aquaman 47 by Josh Middleton, Batman 69 Francesco Mattina, and Nightwing 59 Yasmin Putri. All three of those covers look great. If I had to put my money down, it'd be on the Mateena variant. He's always a hot artist, and Batman's the hottest book at DC, so
yeah.
Can't go wrong there. And there's no new series from DC solicited for Monday, so we'll move on to Marvel. Also pretty quick, no variant cover images were available, so I'm not going to talk about any of those. One new series, I guess it's not really new because we're already talking about War of the Realms, but we get another one of the miniseries. This is War of the Realms Punisher. It's just a 3-issue miniseries, and of course it's Marvel, so there are multiple cover options available for that. And then one last from Zenoscope Comics, we have Oz, Heart of Magic, issue number 1. Zenoscope, you know, once again, there'll be like 8 covers for this. I'd put my money on cover C. That's the John Royal cover. Looks pretty awesome. So if you like these Zenoscope books, that's the one I would jump on. And that's it for FOC.
Nice.
So, nice. Recommended reading. So,
all right. You ready to get into that?
I am. Yep. We're going to jump into my first book for this week is Spider-Man Life Story number 1. This is a 6-issue miniseries. Excuse me. Of course, Spider-Man by Marvel Comics. It's written by Chip Zdarsky with art by Mark Bagley. So I really liked the premise of this book before it even came out. The idea is that, you know, it's 1962, which when, you know, is actually when Spider-Man first debuted in Amazing Fantasy 15. But as we've talked about before, you know, decades later, Peter Parker is perpetually still in his 20s. You know, time goes by, but the characters don't age. So this story is basically set in the world that Peter Parker lives in real time. So he's going to age naturally as the years go by. So this starts in 1962. Peter gets bitten by the spider. And the book really starts about 4 years later. He'd been Spider-Man for 4 years. And this is kind of where the book picks up. And it's really cool. So as you figure, you know, you would figure this is late 60s. So Vietnam is happening. It's on everybody's mind. That's a big topic. Peter's in college. He's of draft age, you know. So
yeah.
He's wrestling with, hey, you know, there's this war going on. I may get drafted. What do I do? Should I go? I have all these powers. You know, what could my powers mean, you know, for the war effort, for, you know, for the U.S.? And so that's kind of really what this book, this first issue was, really had a lot to do with him wrestling with the war that was happening. Not to get into too many spoilers, but, you know, Flash Thompson has been drafted and, you know, he's getting ready to ship out. And there's some good moments between Peter and Flash. You know, obviously they've had a complicated history, but high school at this point is over. So, you know, they're friends now, even though Flash bullied him a lot in high school. And, you know, there's some really good moments with Peter talking to him about going to Vietnam. And I don't think this is a big spoiler, but I will say, you know, Flash's big motivation for going to Vietnam is that's what Spider-Man would do. In his mind, he feels like that's what Spider-Man would do. But here's Peter, who is Spider-Man, and he's wrestling with the idea of going. And so now he's kind of like, well, is Flash really going because of me, and sort of feeling guilty about it? And if something happens to Flash, is it my fault? So it was really good. Like, there was obviously more that happened in the book than just the Vietnam stuff. You know, you get to see Norman Osborn, you know, all the regular cast of characters is there. But I really liked also the dialogue. It was written very 60s. You know, a lot of the way they were talking was, you know, very 60s driven. And I really liked this book more than I thought I was going to like it, but I liked it even more than I thought I was going to. It was really, really fun, and I look forward to the next issues, because I think by the next issue, we jump ahead like 5 years, so we're going to see a progression. By 6 issues, Peter's probably going to be like in his 50s by the end of this series, I would imagine, and you kind of get to have seen what his life would be if he had just lived in real time through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and all that stuff. So really, really good read. I really highly recommend it. You and I are both big Spider-Man fans anyway, so
yeah, and that's why I didn't read it.
Of course, we were going to read it, but But yeah, I really liked it a lot. And you know, Mark Bagley is a great Spider-Man artist. He did a really long run on Spider-Man, right around the time that Todd McFarlane left in the 90s. And so he's really familiar with the characters and draws a good Spider-Man. So really, really good. I really do recommend it. And that was my first one. So what have you got for us?
So are you familiar with Robin Hood Outlaw?
Yeah, I've got the first two issues. I haven't read it yet, though.
Oh, okay. How long has she been around? Like, I know...
Yeah. Zenoscope, the Grim Fairy Tales line started... Wow, it's got to be at least 15 years or more by now. Okay. Zenoscope is known for basically Grim Fairy Tales. And yeah, they're introduced all these characters. I don't know exactly how old Robin Hood is, but at least 5 years, maybe a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, she's... Well, in this series, she's back in New York. You know, I'll read you the synopsis. Robin Loxley is back in New York and looking to return to her normal life. She soon learns that this won't be possible when she finds herself entangled in a new mystery that pits her against her greatest adversary yet. So yeah, I was walking through the store and this caught my eye. They had an end cap of all of the Zenoscope stuff, so I asked them about it, and I'm a sucker for bow and arrow, so
right.
It looked like a female Robin Hood, because her name's Robin with a Y,
right?
But yeah, so I picked it up and it is really good. It's kind of like the whole entire thing. There is an Alice in Wonderland version. There's
right.
They do all those. So it's kind of like that. It's there's monsters. There's I really don't know where this is going yet in the first two. By the end of the second one, you're still just feeling things out. She's meeting the characters that she's, I guess, going to be going through this adventure with. And it's... I love the artwork. They do a couple of panels. It's like literally the whole page is black. It's part of the story. You'll get it. But there's some good details, some really, it's just really good art, solid. And the writing is really good. It's a middle age group writing. They obviously, it's that type of where they bleep out the language, right. But it's there. So, but it's, teen reading. They're like their teens, and it's a good story. And trying to think of what else I could tell you to grab you, but it's, right. If you like a bow and arrow.
Right. That's another one of those universes that I've really wanted to get into, but it's so deep that... Again, where do you jump in on that? Because, Grimm Fairy Tales ran for 115 issues or so, and there's spin-offs and Van Helsing.
Yeah.
And I think Gretel came out today, was another one. There's just so much. It's like, where do you jump in?
Well,
so,
and that's what it's like I'm starting to learn and get back to when,
just jump
we, were,
in.
When
yeah.
we were kids and just go. And right. It's like, it's very easy. Like, this has got, it's right at the beginning, one. So one and two, but even if it's not like I'm doing with Nightwing, like, so what,
right.
Just jump in. Cause if you're interested in it, just jump in. And
right.
if you really like it, then you'll start backstorying and it's called a prequel then. Oh, well.
Right.
But
well, and yeah, no, right. We've talked
really
about that so many
it.
Times with other books, and I don't know why this should be any different. So,
right. And, If nothing else, it actually has got me intrigued to see some of the other ones.
Right.
So, yeah, really good. It's, like Zenoscope, Robin Hood Outlaw. It's pretty good.
Cool.
And we both have the last one.
So did you read it too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, I'll let you talk about it then. And then I'll chime in a little bit if I need to.
Well, why don't you do your reading? Because you do it so well when you talk about the writer and stuff like that. You're so good at that. I'm just like, duh. I read
right.
book. It's really good.
All right. So it shouldn't be a surprise because we mentioned it earlier. Dark Red number one from Aftershock Comics. Written by Tim Seeley with art by Corin Howell. So this is a vampire book. You know, we've all seen enough of vampires lately, so we know what the vampire thing is about. But there was a couple of things in here that I thought
kind of hinted in the title.
Yeah, right. But what I thought was kind of cool is, you know, this guy's a vampire. You know, when we're used to vampires that are, you know, I mean, they've got the world by the, you know, the bull by the horns, right? Like, they're at the top of the food chain. They're, you know, kind of aloof most of the time. And, you know, this guy's working in a convenience store. And what I really liked about it is he took this job working overnight because obviously, you know, he can't be out during the day. But he has this, you know, he made a deal with his boss that, you know, he has to get off at 7 a.m. every day on time. He needs to get off and go home. Well, you know, obviously he can't tell her he's a vampire, but just that he has to get off. And so, of course, it comes up in this first issue that something goes wrong and he has to stay late at work. And it creates kind of a conundrum for him because he knows that the sun's going to come up before he can get home and he can't be out in that. So that's how it starts. And it was kind of interesting. I also liked the twist where, you know, he has this sort of a familiar, not really a familiar, but this person that he feeds off of, I guess, pretty much on a regular basis. But,
oh, a friend. Yeah, it's his
friend. But what I thought was really cool about it is, like, it's to do her a service. You know, obviously he needs to eat, but she's got some kind of disease, which I've never heard of, but it causes her to produce too much blood. So she goes to him to say, hey, help me out. You know, I'll feed you, but you're going to save me thousands of dollars in medical treatments because I don't have to go get my blood drained or whatever she had to do. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, she has polycythemia.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is
yeah,
she makes too much blood. Yeah, right. I guess. But the whole the beginning of the book, and it's not really a spoiler. It's like he's working in a convenience store, but the whole dark red, did you pick up on like that theme besides being vampire and blood?
And, well, other than if every, you know, all his clothes were red.
Yeah, but everybody there is like a like extreme right wing Republican.
Oh yeah, you can even see it. You can see it
on the cover. Yeah,
yeah,
the cover,
got
and
the
it's like
MAGA hats on the cover. And,
yeah, and all the little signs and stuff that they have with all the Republican, you know, propaganda the extremists have.
Right.
But there's people in, it's kind of an adult book.
It's definitely an adult book. You know, you get the language pretty early on and you know, it's a vampire book and you know, it's going to be graphic violence and stuff, going forward, I'm sure.
But
so
the first two pages have REO Speedwagon playing in the background.
Yeah,
that
which
was
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. I actually had it in my head while I was reading.
Me too. I was like, singing it as I was reading.
Yeah.
I was like,
it was pretty cool. But yeah, it's I have no idea where this is going.
No, I don't either. It was a little bit all over the place.
One of those books that's all over the place and you're starting to get a feel for where it's going and then you flip the page.
Right.
And you know how like this ads at the end, so you don't know when the end is coming. It's not like the last, you know, you never know if it's the last page or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you flip the page and there's this just a solid one page frame and it is, you know, one bubble and to be continued at the bottom.
Right.
And you're like, and that's out of the blue. You don't know. Now, you're like, oh, I thought I had it figured out, but what the hell is this? So definitely really good.
What I really like too is, something I had never really seen before in a, you know, I've seen a lot of vampire things, obviously. He gets in a fight with some other vampire type characters that just kind of show up out of nowhere at his house. But, I've always thought if I was ever going to write a murder mystery, like the perfect murder weapon is a big icicle, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you stab somebody with it, and you know, anybody
and
that's
it's
been
gone.
Anybody that's been up north knows that an icicle can get pretty strong and pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And then you kill somebody with it, and then it just, you know, it melts. And there's no fingerprints. Right. There's no nothing.
Right.
So she has an icicle, but it's frozen holy water.
Frozen
so
holy water. It's dripping on them.
Well, that's awesome, right? It's like, what more do you need to kill a vampire? You're going to stake them with holy water. But then I thought to myself, how is she holding it? Because isn't
well,
she
I don't think she was a vampire.
Or I guess she was like a familiar.
Was just a punk kid.
Right.
But
I just thought that was awesome. I thought that was a really cool twist. I've never seen anything like that in a vampire story.
I thought the exact same thing as you, though, when I got to that part. I was like, wait a minute, how is she? Oh, I guess she's not a vampire.
Right.
Because she's like all decked out like a punk or something, so I didn't know if she was a vampire and it was part of the story or what. But, that was a really good surprise.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I went into the store this morning. They open at 8. So I hit them on my way to work, and they're like, "Oh, we don't have anything for you this week. Nothing in your pull list." And I was like, "All right, what's good?"
Right, just tell me what came out.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. Here you go. Read this one." I was like, "Okay," and I walk out of there with like $3.
Yeah, well, I can see Rise. I see Rise on the wall behind you, and that was another one that I actually.
Shh, that's next week.
Oh well, I'm not going to talk about it. But I was just gonna say, that was one that I actually wanted to. That was on my mind to do read today and
did
do
you
a recommended
open it?
Reading. Well, yeah, but I sold out. By the time I got to actually read books, I sold out. But I did thumb through it, and I need a magnifying glass to read that damn thing.
Oh my god!
Because
exactly, it is so
small.
Let me give you – I'm going to read this for next week, and maybe you will too. So,
yeah.
So I'm sitting down to read my books tonight. And did you read Batman 67 yet?
No.
Okay. No. Pick it up. I'll wait the 30 seconds for you to read it.
I heard that it was pretty non-wordy.
It is.
Like
but
one bubble through the whole book. But
it's not the last couple pages, there's a few bubbles in there. But it's awesome.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you've ever been through a book like that before, but it's like I haven't. So I'm like, oh, they do this all the time. They just forget to write. I don't know,
right.
But it's basically a really good chase scene,
right?
And because there's nothing to read, what they put in lieu of dialogue, they put the sounds in,
right.
And because you know, like the pows and the bams, but. One of them is so you don't have to read anything. So instead, you find yourself like, oh, I got nothing to do. So I'm going to do the whirr.
Right.
So you're doing all of that all the way through. And there's this one part where they're like clickety, clickety clacking down something.
Right.
So you're making nose noise. it's a blast. It takes you like 45 seconds to read the whole thing.
Right.
And so then I'm done reading that. And I'm like, oh, all right. Now I've got enough time. And I pick up Rise and I'm like, Oh my God.
Put that back down.
Yeah, you're not kidding about the magnifying glass.
Yeah.
It's like some of the script is in like typed, like the old typewriter letters.
Yeah.
And they're tiny.
I'm actually going to have to, I'm literally going to have to read that online on my iPad because I'm going to have to be manipulating the screen larger so I can read the words because my eyes, I can't read it. I looked through it and I was like, there's no way I can read this.
Well, not only that, what makes it difficult is it's not a high contrast either.
No, it's right. It really kind of blends into the background.
Right. It's like the bubbles are, they're not bubbles. They actually look like they're clippings out of a newspaper.
Right.
So they're cut square. And like, so the bubbles are like a light olive green. And then the words are in a darker olive green.
Yeah.
So
we're not
doing
a good job of selling people on this book, but
well,
it might be good. I don't know.
I'm just flipping through it, and there's a nice little white puppy dog, so that kind of sucked me in.
The art looks good. I mean, the art looks really good.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Is that Scout? That's Scout Comics, right? I think that.
Yeah, Scout Comics. Let me see something here. I think there's something. We're doing previews for next week.
Right. Our
so,
preview reading.
I'm actually looking. It changes. Oh, this is actually pretty cool. I think we're going to like this because throughout the book, the color palette changes. So like what we were just saying at the beginning, I'm sure you looked it up at the beginning. It's like kind of a pastel-y, like almost like a red. Well, it starts off in a green, then it goes to a little lighter red, like a rose. But then by the end, all of a sudden, there's bright colors. So something's going on in the background. It looks like there's a ton of detail in here.
Yeah.
This makes Green Lantern look like Batman 67.
Right. Well, and like I said, it sold out today. Like, I had people looking for that. You know, again, it was Scout Comics, so I didn't order a ton. I think I only ordered 3 copies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I sold them all today. So, I mean, there's Marvel books that I didn't sell 3 copies of today. So,
right. Well.
So, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, people were looking for it. So, I look forward to hearing you talk about it because I did want to read it. And by the time, like I said, I got around to picking up my books to read, it was gone.
I'll get my magnifying glass.
I know, right?
No. And Avengers No Road Home. Did you say you didn't read that?
I did not read number 6 yet. No.
No 6 yet. Number 6. Yeah, it's good. It's yeah. I'm picking it up here at 6 because of the crossover.
Oh, okay. So you haven't read the first 5 yet. You didn't read the first 5?
No.
Okay.
So but I'm hooked.
Yeah, it was good.
This is really good with the majority of it is him and Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
So it's a pretty interesting crossover. Right now it's like almost not, there's a dream crossover in it. I'm not getting that part yet. I think that'll pan out, but that has other characters in it. It's like a nightmare dream type sequence.
Well, because Nightmare
he's
been one of the main characters through the first 5 issues. So
right, so that's only like a very small part of this with the Hulk and Rocket and Hawkeye.
Right.
But it's really good, and I really like the art. I haven't been following other than the old Avengers that I've been reading. I haven't read any new Avengers lately. So, but yeah, this is really good, really good. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to it.
We could talk about it next week. Did you ever get to Grim Knight?
Yeah, I did. I read that. I liked it.
What'd you think? You liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
It was grim, wasn't it?
It was. It was. you know, again, I still feel like it's just a one-shot. You know, it says to be continued in Man Who Laughs number 4, so...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it didn't wrap up the story by the end of this, but it
continues. But that's what I was saying last week. That's why I wanted you to read it. And it's, but the other part that I thought was really crazy is it just really, I thought reading that really just drove home how good Batman really is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's at the beginning of that book, you're seeing all of, you know, the stuff that Batman has done in that universe, the Grim Knight.
Right.
And how evil, not even evil, he's doing it for the same reasons.
Right. He's still motivated. Right. He's motivated by the same things as, you know, our Batman is. He's just taking it to the extreme. And...
Right. So to give a little bit of a spoiler, it's at the very beginning of the book. So it's, if you haven't read it, and you're not reading the Batman Who Laughs, it's definitely worth picking up that book anyways, because it's a one-off, like, it is a story unto itself, but it's basically, you start out with Bruce Wayne as a child, and the guy that kills his parents drops this gun.
Right, he basically trips and drops the gun.
After he kills the parents, he drops the gun. Bruce gets the gun and kills the guy.
Right.
And from then on in, he is basically, he still goes on the same path to become Batman to avenge his parents and so that this can't happen to anybody else. But now he has killed and he just keeps on killing. And he even kills a bat.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like that. I was like, oh, the poor bat, because the way they showed it.
It's like genocide.
Yeah, it was, but it was very graphic. It was very shocking. It was very, very un-Batman-like.
Yeah, and
that's what I thought was a great contrast to the Batman that we've, you know, grown up with, that everybody loves, that doesn't kill.
Right.
And nothing drives that home more than when you see him doing it.
Right. Well, and actually, the character that I really liked the most through that was his Jim Gordon, his version of Jim Gordon. You know, he sets up the bat signal basically because he knows his ego is going to make him answer. Like, he wants to talk to him. And so the signal isn't there, like, in our world. Well, our world, you know, Batman is not real, folks.
In reality.
But, you know, it's a symbol, right? He flashes the bat signal and Bruce knows that he's needed and he goes out and, and does whatever. This is right. Like, hey, I need to talk to this guy. How am I going to get him here? And he says, well, I'll flash this light and he'll come because he's arrogant.
Right. It's the opposite. It's really good.
But he's kind of a badass. Like, that Jim Gordon is pretty bad, you know?
Well, he has to be.
Yeah.
It's like...
So, but. I liked it. I liked him. And Alfred also.
Yep. That was sad.
Alfred, you know, I always liked Alfred, but, you know, his Alfred was, it was pretty good characterization there, too. So, I don't know, I really liked it. I thought it was a great book, and, you know, it's kind of like an Elseworld story in a way, like, you know, what if Batman killed and what would happen there, but, yeah, it was really cool. I look forward to seeing I'm sure we'll see that character more. He'll be popular and, you know, DC will do more with him, I'm sure. So
yeah, that was it was it, and like I said last week, it's like you could see where it could continue.
Oh yeah,
where it's like it I know it's a one, and that's why I was saying last week, I'm like, I don't think this is gonna be a one, because when you get to the end of it, the story isn't over.
Well, like I said, and I think I said this last week too, it's like this is just his audition, right? Like, they want to see if he's a marketable character, and he clearly will be. You know, I sold out of Grim Knight all, you know, last week. Everybody came out to get it. So I'm sure it'll be a hit for DC, and they'll do more with the character. Unless he dies at the end of Batman. You know, like, we don't know what's going to happen in the last three issues of Batman Who Laughs.
Right.
So maybe he goes through a change or gets killed, or who knows what they're going to do. But if he's still alive at the end of number six, I'm sure we'll see more of him.
Yeah. All right. Is that it for reading? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's it. I mean, you know, I read a bunch of books last week that were good, but, you know, we're an hour and a half into this, so if we're going to talk about Umbrella Academy at all...
Oh, yeah.
We probably should do that, yeah. We actually have a topic this week. It is Umbrella Academy.
Yeah. Oh, we already talked about it a little bit, so... Yeah. All right, then. Let's do that. Let's get into Umbrella Academy Apocalypse Suite.
In October 1989, 43 women around the world gave birth. None of these women had been pregnant when the day first began.
How much do you want for it?
I have adopted six children. Gifted with abilities far beyond the ordinary. I give you the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, okay, so you said you read the book and you watched the show, so I guess why don't we start out by kind of comparing or getting into what some of the differences were, because I haven't read it, so...
All right. So it starts off a little bit differently. It starts off, I mean, we don't really need to get into that. It's just a minute... that's a little tiny thing. So, you know, full spoilers now... Right. So, you know how, what is it, what's her name? The love interest, the movie star. She's not a movie star in the book.
Allison, yeah.
Allison, okay.
Rumor, yeah.
Yeah,
she's
so,
called Rumor. And it's,
right, so if I remember right from the book, they don't have all the same names.
Oh, okay.
It's Luther's Luther, but he is Space Boy. They call him mostly Space Boy. They go about a lot by the numbers.
Right.
The Kraken. Rumor, you know.
Yeah, they go by, which they didn't, in the show, they didn't really go by those
right.
names.
Right, that's what they go by in the book. So here's a good difference. You know the whole relationship between, like, Allison and Luther?
Right.
And how they, you know, they really love each other. It's like the whole time I said to Jen when we were watching the show, I'm like, you're going to find out they're not just brother and sister, because they're adopted, so it's not
right.
like anything weird.
It's not like Luke and Leia. You know?
Right. They have so. They have a relationship here, and they even there's one part of the show where they go, everybody knows. What do you
right.
think, we're stupid?
Right.
You know? None of that is in the book. None of it. They're not
really?
they have no relationship. As a matter of fact, there's only one panel in the whole book where she's talking to him, and they're talking about when he spent time on the moon, and she just, like, in the middle of the conversation, she looks up at him and says, I heard a rumor that when we were 8 years old, you always wanted to kiss me. And then they kissed. because she made it happen.
Right.
So that and in the whole book, that was it. That's their entire relationship right there. So that's why I'm saying, like, they really elaborated on in the show to make it a 10-episode show.
Right.
But
what I was saying is that I wonder if you get, by the time you get to, like, Hotel Oblivion, which was the latest, actually it's still ongoing right now.
Right.
Maybe they are a couple now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just wondering if they accelerated the story or if they just made it up for the TV show. I don't know.
Yeah. I was hoping to have read, I also have the second one. Was it Dallas?
Yeah.
I wanted to have read that by tonight. I just didn't have time.
Right.
You know, traveling up and down the East Coast,
getting sponsors. You're a busy man.
Yeah. No, but I wanted to see, because I wanted to see what happens next. When the show ends, this can go anywhere, but does each show have anything to do with the last show? Because they're going back in time. There's actually a hint in here. Now I'm mixing up the show and the book. Did they all show up as kids
when?
In the show?
Yeah. Well, through flashbacks, they show them, like, in the bank.
Okay. So in the book, when this ends, you know how he came back as a child?
Oh, right.
They
show that in the book.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's a big speculation from watching the show is when they show up in season two, are they all going to be kids or...
Right.
What are they going to be? And I guess that answers in the graphic novel answers that. But I was curious about that after the finale, what versions we're going to get of these characters when they come back for season two.
Right.
My assumption was that they would all be kids again.
There's a version of it in there. But then they also – it doesn't end that way, though. It's weird. They do what was I going to say? They end up going back to, in the book, it's a mansion and it's not that place that they had in the show.
Right.
So it ends kind of, it's kind of hard to explain. I'm trying to think. It's basically they're just trying to pick up the pieces, but they're not. You don't know what's going to happen,
right?
And they don't really tell you anything. And it's like kind of like the end of the show. And it's like, okay, so what did they do? The Earth doesn't get destroyed.
Okay.
In the book, so it's a little different in that way. But he does do a jump. The kid does do the jump. And they all show up somewhere. So I'm trying to think of another difference. Oh, anyways, what about the show?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, do we want to, I mean, if we're going to try to, well, I guess if you're listening to this part into the show, you've probably already watched it anyways. If you haven't, stop listening because we're going to ruin it for you.
Well, we already did.
because I was going to say, I guess we should kind of talk a little bit about what the show is about, but. You know, once again, anybody that's already listening has I'm sure watched it and knows what it's about. So, I guess there's no real reason to do that. So, here's a couple things that I thought about. Not really differences between the show and the book, obviously, because I didn't read the book, but just a couple of what if questions that came to my mind. It's like why things would be the way they are. So, talking about Allison again. Her ability basically is that she can manipulate people to do whatever she wants, right?
Right.
She just says, you know, and so she's in trouble with her ex-husband and has basically lost custody of their daughter because the husband found out that she was, you know, basically using her power to put the kid to sleep at night because the kid would be crying and throwing a fit or whatever because she's a baby and doesn't want to go to sleep. And Allison would basically go up to her and say, hey, I heard a rumor that you stopped crying and went to sleep, and the baby goes to sleep. The husband freaks out and says, you can't be using your powers on the baby, and gets a divorce and won't let her see the kid. So why doesn't she just use the Force and go up to the husband and say, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Just say, hey, I heard a rumor that you're not going to divorce me and take my kid away from me. And, like, why does she go through all of that? Like, there's no reason for this girl to have anything in her life not be exactly the way she wants it to be. So it really just struck me that... I guess she's taking a moral stance that she doesn't want to manipulate people, but...
Right. Well, so that gets to what I took from that is, and that's a great question. It's a great point on that entire take. And I think the purpose of it is just that. So the reason she's there, well, she's there because the father died.
Right.
But the reason that they're divorced, the reason she's not doing that anymore isn't because she can't. It's because she wants to earn things for herself. And she says that in the show, that's like, everything I've got, I got because of that. So, like, she became a movie star because she would go on TV. It's like, I heard a rumor I'm the most popular person in the world.
Right.
Now, they never said that in the show, but you can imagine by her, the way she's talking, that that's how she, you know, evolved as a character, as a person.
Right.
So that's how she achieved everything that she has. And she was, and she even said, she goes, I was doing it innocently to my daughter. You know, like, it was just, look, like, every, if any parent had
that
power, you'd
be like,
which
one of us wouldn't do that? Like, if I had that power and, you know, my kid was up in the middle of the night and I had to go to sleep, so I had to go to work the next day, I'm absolutely walking in there and going, hey, kid, I heard a rumor you went to sleep.
I heard a rumor you're really sleepy.
Right.
What's the big deal?
Right.
It's like,
there's no harm in
that. Is that any worse than the stories I've heard of people, especially my mother's, my grandmother used to tell my mother to give me rum.
Right.
It's like, is that, I mean, I'd rather have been told a rumor than, you know.
Well, and you got kids with, like, shaken baby syndrome because people go crazy because they can't get them to go to sleep. So to me, that's the most harmless thing in the world to say, hey, why don't you go to sleep? And the kid goes to sleep.
But I think she felt it was a personal choice.
Right.
And where it's not something that anybody else can do. So she wanted to be a legit parent, like, deal with things like everybody else would deal with. And she probably had an agreement with her husband. And when her husband sees it, like, because when you have this happen to you, obviously you don't know you've been told the rumor.
Right.
So you don't know. So you can't trust that person. Like, as the husband, you're like, how do I know you're not doing that to me?
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, she could very well make him fall in love with her.
Well, it's not even that. Like, I could see that you don't
know
want...
who knows you.
Well, right.
You know?
That's, maybe she doesn't want to go that far and say, I'm going to make the husband still love me, because that's not real. And she knows that it's not real. But I'm absolutely going to say, hey, I'm going to pick up my kid on Saturday. You're okay with that, right? Like, I'm not going to not see my kid, you know.
Right.
There's no way that I'm going to let that happen if I have that kind of power, you know.
Right, but the way I see it is where she was she became the most popular person on the planet because she went so far with it.
Right.
It's almost like she's an addict, and she's like, I just got to cut it out. I got to go cold turkey, and I got to not do it anymore, regardless of the consequences. I can't do that anymore. And then, obviously, when the first time she's about to do it again, number seven, you know, Vanya slits her throat.
Right.
Which, in the book, she does the exact same way.
Really?
That is exactly the same. The only thing is the panels, it so that's the huge difference in the book. I'm sure you've seen the trade with the white woman on the cover as a violin.
Right.
That's not just a piece of art for the cover. That's Vanya.
Right.
So here's a major, major difference from the show. So, you know, the guy that the main antagonist, show, he's the one that takes Vanya and like cultivates her and says, I'm the only one that's ever supported you.
Right.
That is non-existent in the book.
Yeah, which I did know that.
So
Leonard Peabody, right?
Yeah. So that person,
Harold Jenkins, yeah.
Yeah, so that person in the book is actually another, like, alien being.
okay.
that knows the power that she had, or it's some kind of a, it almost looks like, looks like something out of Eyes Wide Shut. Like he's got this skeleton mask on, and it is an orchestra. He leads an orchestra, but what the idea is, they know the power she has,
right?
And they, like, right from the very beginning, after probably, you know, chapter two, which is book two, you're right into it. There's no surprise twist in the book.
Right.
It's, you're right into it, and which is why I think you should see, well, if you're listening to this now, you've done both or one of them anyways.
Right.
But I think you should see it first, because the twist is there, whereas in the book, there's no real twist.
Right.
They take her and they put her on a table and they transform her from a regular person into what you see on the cover, which is like this all white, almost like nude person with that violin strip up her body.
Right.
And her powers are the violin. She just walks around, and if you get in her way, she's like, hit me with a D chord, and she just literally explodes you.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and it's not just her either. There's a whole orchestra. Like, she's supposed to be leading the orchestra. Like, she's first chair, blah, blah, blah. And they want to destroy the world. That right. is the purpose of that. And, when she kills Pogo in the show?
Right.
She does the same thing in the book, but not the same way. She hits him with a blast and he goes flying across the room and sticks into whatever's on the wall.
Right.
In the book, she just explodes him. So it's pretty graphic, but, right?
So you watched the show first, obviously, and yes. then you read the book. So when did you figure it out? Like, how deep into the show were you before you figured out that she was the Apocalypse?
Oh, pretty like halfway.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't get it until basically. When she slept, you know, when her and Allison were kind of going at it in the cabin, and, you know, her powers were starting to, you know, the storm was outside and she was getting angrier and all that stuff was going on. I was like, that's when I knew it clicked for me that she's the Apocalypse. She's the one that basically destroys the world.
Remember when they're walking down the street and the street signs bend in behind her?
Yeah, like
the light poles.
I wasn't thinking that far ahead then, though.
By then, I had already, like, thought it. Now, I can't say I figured it out 100%, but whenever I watch these shows, and my kids do this all the time, they're like, how did you know? I'm like, I've been watching TV for 48 years. Mm-hmm. I know, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not what they're
telling you. Just pick up the signs. Yeah.
It's not what they're telling you. It's what they're not telling you.
Right.
So it's like, you have seven kids. Six of them are all together. One of them's off on their own meeting some stranger.
Right.
I was like, she's got to be it.
Well.
And that's why, like I said, it's sad because we're into spoilers now. So if you're listening, you've seen it. But
right.
I can't recommend seeing the show enough before you read the book, because none of that's in the book.
Right.
And they're both very good. But, I enjoyed both of them. But I think if I'd read the book first, you really, as soon as the show starts,
you would have known who,
like,
she is.
Yeah,
right.
You know everything.
Well,
but you would have gotten more backstory.
And
so
I knew she had powers all along, because just having seen the cover of the graphic novel in the past, you can see you see the white violin woman basically on the cover. Well, there's only one character in the damn TV show that plays the violin, so I knew that she had some kind of more relevance than what they were building her up in the beginning. But it was it was probably about episode 6 or 7 when I figured out that they were kind of setting her up to be like the bad guy. But I didn't figure out that she was responsible for the whole thing until kind of that scene at the cabin where, you know, she slices Allison's throat and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Basically the whole world's going crazy around her because she's getting mad. I was like, that's, you know, she's the one.
Yeah, you know the part where number 5 comes up behind her with the gun.
Yeah,
and he never pulls the trigger, or he just, well, actually, I'm sorry, he shoots it next to her head.
Right.
To, like, take her hearing out. In the book, he just shoots her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's not like, you don't get the whole, which I think is good, because that putting the gun to her head was for the people, like, the loyal fans that read it years ago. They're like, this is where, he doesn't do it.
Right.
So that was a fun twist. But he shoots her, but he doesn't kill her. He blows her brains out, but not all of her brains.
Right.
So they miss the important part of her brain. I'm telling you stuff about the book. You know, you saw it. It's definitely worth reading.
I like
that. Like I said, you'll fly through it.
I like that number five is the only character that doesn't actually have a name. Also, it's like,
yeah,
they all have. You know, they all have their code names, like the Kraken and Space Boy and all that, but they also all have names.
Yeah.
You know, it's Luther, Diego. Well, he's just number five, and then that's it, number five. He never really has a name, which, you know, I don't really know why he never got a name, but for some reason he
wasn't
doesn't.
Around long enough.
He actually stole the whole show for me. Like, I thought that
he was great.
The kid, the actor that played him was fantastic. He did a really great job.
He's
like,
good in the book too, but
yeah, but
the character's good.
But but that actor, he really stood out for me as, you know, he kind of stole the show. And then Hazel, he was the other one. Like, he was awesome.
Yeah, that Hazel and Cha-Cha aren't in the book.
No,
they just
made
up
for the show.
That's like I said.
And how is Hazel not Mary J. Blige? Like, I was like, when I first heard Hazel and Cha-Cha, I was like, well, of course she's Hazel, right? I was like, why do they call him Cha-Cha? And then all of a sudden, he's Hazel. I was like, well,
right.
That's interesting. But
right. Yeah, so the closest thing in the book to that whole entire, like, Time Academy people or whatever, dealing with, you know, trying to correct the timeline.
Right.
The closest thing to that in the book is, so, you know, the donut shop from the show.
Right.
There's a scene in the book where number five and Pogo go to the donut shop. And it's like they're sitting there and these guys come up behind them and they're basically the comic books version of the guys that remember when they had the shootout in the movie theater.
Right.
Or maybe it was the orchestra theater,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But all, you know, those Time Bandit guys or whatever you want to call them that showed up. It's basically like three or four of them show up in the donut shop and they go, we're looking for number five. And even in the book, they just call him number five.
Right.
And he goes, and the little boy goes, that's me. And then they go away. They go to another part of the story. Okay. So they come back to that. And the woman behind the counter, her name's Agnes.
Right.
And the reason I know her name's Agnes is because they come back to that part of the story and there's a cop at the donut shop going, okay, Agnes, what happened? And she goes, oh, boy was here. She starts to explain and everything. And she goes, and he goes, and what did the boy say, Agnes? And every time he says something, he's like so frustrated with the story, but he says
Agnes,
her name at the time, every single time. And so he's the cop. That, and it's an old guy, kind of looks like Gordon from Grim Knight.
Yeah.
Same type of looking guy. He gets back in his car, and there is, what's his name in the back seat? Kraken.
Yeah.
Diego. He's in the back seat where he used to be the cop, so he has that whole backstory, but he's not in love with the guy.
Right.
So that's the closest part in the book to the show. But yeah, I mean the show is that backstory. You got, like you said, you have the whole story with Diego and the cop getting killed by Cha-Cha.
Right.
And I thought that was really good. It gave, like you said, they really fleshed out every single character.
Every character, really,
which
had
is
a good
amazing
story. Right, great backstory.
Which is amazing because when you read the book, there's nothing there. So
right,
you're like, you know.
Even the whole relationship with with Hazel and Agnes was really well done, I thought.
Yeah.
In that...
I forget. Is she really Agnes in the show,
too? I think it is, Agnes. Let me go down and see here. Yes, yeah. Sheila McCarthy as Agnes.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I literally only remember because of the book. It was so funny. He was so condescending. Like, okay, Agnes, what did she say? It was so funny. But yeah, they never, in that scene, they never show number five kill the guys, but she describes it. She's like, he moved so fast, I didn't even see him.
Right.
So you, and that's the thing. I'm actually, now come to think of it, I don't know if you really get, if you haven't seen the show and you're reading the book, I don't know if you know he moves the way he moves.
Right.
It's hard to pick up in the book, you know, in the frames. You're not really sure if they just went to another frame or if he, you know what I mean?
Right. I loved his, and this is probably wasn't in the book either. Maybe it was, but just knowing that all the changes, the relationship that Five has with the mannequin, I thought was awesome. Was it Dolores? Is that what the mannequin's name was?
Yeah, but Dolores.
Yeah, his love interest is this mannequin because there's no other people. So
yeah,
it's like he has this, I don't know what, 40-year love affair with a
yeah,
with a mannequin.
It's actually in the book.
Is it in the book? Okay.
Yeah, it's so there's two parts in the book that refer back to that, and he. What it is he's trying to, he's like, obviously the apocalypse has happened. You've seen where he's living in the show. Right. It's like he's living in ruins, right? So he's got on this giant wall that's like half of a wall of a building. He's got all the math worked out on how he can get back.
Right.
Back home. And Dolores, which is this mannequin laying there in the rubble, says to him, "You idiot. You forgot to carry the two on whatever problem it was."
Right.
And he turns and looks at the wall and it's like, "You're a genius." And right. That's what solved the problem. But it was, you know what I mean? It was his head
right.
figuring it out. But he used, you know, it was her telling him. But then later on, he's flying around with Pogo because they have the inventions that the father, the monocle.
Right.
I'll get to that too. The monocle... invented these bunch of these inventions and they use them in the book, and one of them is these like levitation belts so they can fly around the city and stuff. So he's flying around the city with Pogo, and Pogo asks him like, "So how do you know the world's really gonna end? You were trapped in this area. How do you know you just didn't?" And then number five finishes it like, "Go insane,"
right?
And like basically make all this up. And he's like, "I've thought of that myself." And he's like, "But what if I didn't?"
Right.
So it's like, we might as well try to stop it. If it never happens, no harm, no foul.
Well, right.
You know? So, yeah, that was about as close as they got to that. That's all they really said. That was it. Like I said, everything, it's the first time I can honestly say you get more out of the show or movie than you do out of the book. So.
Yeah, I just thought it was really cool. Like I said, I like the relationship. Again, not to go back to Battlestar Galactica, but it reminded me of on Battlestar, you have, Baltar and Head Six, you know, that
yeah.
basically just really his subconscious, you know, right. telling him what he needs to hear. And it was kind of the same thing. Like you said, "You dummy, you forgot to carry the two." Like, he already knows. Right. It's like himself working it out in his head. But I kind of got the same, like I said, it had the same vibe to me, which I didn't pick up on until I started watching Battlestar again. And then we just started, really just kind of started talking about it. But,
yeah.
You know, it was the same type of thing. It was like, he was really just working it out in his head by talking to himself, but manifesting it as another person, you know, because it's easy. If you're the only living person, you're the last man. You're only going to talk to yourself all the time. You have to kind of give yourself some variety, I guess, you know,
and you're going to go insane.
Well, of course,
how
do you not?
I think you would.
Yeah. How do you not?
You're basically in solitary, but the you're on Earth
forever, you know, for 50 years, right? They said he was how many years he was trapped there. Maybe it wasn't 50 because he spent some amount of years working for like the time police.
Well, he was like 50 years older when he got back.
But I think he was like 30 years or something he spent by himself. And it's like crazy. We'd all be insane if, you know, if I had to live with myself. My wife's been gone for 4 days and I'm already, you know, at least I get to go to work and talk to people. If I was stuck in here by myself, I'd already be crazy. So just imagine 30 years of just being by yourself. You know, who knows?
That's what I wanted to ask you. What did you think of Luther, number one? What did you think of his character? What did you think of, like, the costume that they used?
I didn't love the costume. Like, I thought it looked a little, I don't want to say cheap, but it didn't look great to me. Like, I know what, you know, obviously they were, you know, he's, I guess, like, basically a gorilla with the head of a man. You know, I don't know how else to explain it. So, you know, he should look out of, I guess, a little out of proportion, but I felt like it looked like a cheap suit, just stuffed with whatever. I didn't think it looked great, but I liked his character, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Luther in general. You know, he's
kinda, very sympathetic character.
Right, very sympathetic. You know, he's the devoted son, right? Like, they've all kind of, not necessarily spurned the father, but they've all turned their backs on, they've all kind of gone and lived their own lives. And he was the one that stayed. Like, he stayed true to the father. He, you know, wanted to play the dutiful son. He went and lived on the moon for 4 years by himself because dad told him to. you know, but it's like, he ended up being the one that the father probably cared the least about, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I think the father had a plan, and that's something at the end that you don't know, and maybe we find out in later books, but it sounds like, it seems to me like the father knew this was coming.
Right. Well, because we haven't touched on this at all, but somewhere towards the end of the series, you find out that the old man is basically an alien, and he's been on Earth for, you know, hundreds of years. He's lived many lives. And you get the sense that, yes, he's kind of been preparing for this.
I didn't know if he was an alien or, you know what I thought of him as, what's his name? And he was in the Arrowverse. Forgetting his name. The guy that, he came from Egypt, remember in the Arrowverse, he ended up on Legends.
You're not talking about Hawkman.
But he came from Hawkman. What's the bad guy's name?
Vandal Savage.
Yes, Vandal Savage. He reminded me of Vandal Savage, how he's just like immortal through time. So that's what I was thinking.
I don't know. I read it as an alien. You could be right. I don't know.
Either way, and that's where he got his money from. He's been around forever, so he acquired, and they show it towards the end of the show that where he bought the building.
Right, which was an umbrella factory.
Right. Yeah, And he clearly, in the book, he's an inventor.
Right.
He's the one, he won the Nobel Prize, it says in the book, for his work with heightened chimpanzee, you know, stuff. So,
right. Well, and we didn't see too many devices. Like you said in the book, they had like levitation devices and things.
Right.
We didn't really see any of that in the show. But of course, Mother, you know, was basically an android. So obviously he had technology.
You know what else you didn't see? They never showed you in the show is the monocle. So number five picked up the monocle. He picked up one of the father's monocles. They were going through his room, and he put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and just the whole frame is like, I had no idea. And then the next frame he throws up, because what the monocle does is it lets you see people for who they are. You see the world. Right. It's almost like, remember They Live?
Yeah.
You put the glasses on.
Yeah.
And you could see the aliens. Well, that's what this was like. Only everything, like he saw stuff in a room that wasn't there.
Right.
So I don't know if it was a different dimension or what, but it like he threw up. Number five threw up. He's like, oh, ah.
Right. So that kind of goes back to playing into, even though they didn't show that in the show, he probably had some idea of what was coming. Like, he knew, even though he convinced Vanya that she didn't have any powers and basically convinced all the other kids that she didn't have any powers, he knew how powerful she was. You know, they went through that whole montage where she was killing all these babysitters and things like that as a kid because she couldn't control herself. So he probably used the monocle and saw her and maybe read into that she was going to, you know, basically be the destructor and, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, clearly he had to keep her subdued. So he knew that she was, you know, too powerful to go unchecked. So I think that. But what purpose does this, like, so yes, he's trying to prepare for what's coming, but what purpose does sending Luther to the moon for 5 years serve, you know?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if that was a failed attempt.
Because, like, then they say, you know, he spent...
Because we know the moon gets destroyed in the show.
Right.
Did he send him to the moon to protect the moon? Did he send up? Did he have a plan?
Well, you don't know, because, you know, Luther... Luther finds out that he spent all these years sending back, like, reports daily or weekly or whatever it was, and the old man never even looked at them, never read any of them.
Never
read
them.
He didn't care anything about what was going on the moon. He sent him there for something. We just don't really know why.
Luther doesn't know.
Right, nobody knows. Well, I guess the monocle, what was his name, Hargreaves, he knows, but...
Right.
But we never really find out because he's dead through the whole show.
Right. But they go back to Dallas, which I think is, what, the Kennedy?
Yeah.
I think they're going back to that. So who knows? Maybe when they go back in time, he'll be there.
Well, because... they did get one scene because we haven't talked about Klaus, who's a seance. You know, obviously he has the ability to, you know, I can see dead people. Because
he can actually manifest them now.
Well, which, we find out kind of towards the end. But yeah, he basically pulled the dad back for one scene in the show. And so you got to see a little bit with that. But, you know, basically, you know, the father was gone for the whole show. So it was really all the kids speculating about what his motives were because they don't really know. And we don't really know as viewers what most of his motives were, why he did most of what he did. So...
Right.
I also wonder, now maybe I'm forgetting, because it's been about a month since I've seen it, but as kids, he turned them all into a superhero team, basically, as kids. You know, they were out, you know, saving the world, using their powers. But as adults, they're not doing that anymore. Do they give a reason why they stopped? Other than, was it because the one brother got killed? Or, like, I don't remember them ever talking about why they stopped being superheroes.
I think they just were, like, failing. They thought they were failures, is what I remember.
Right, because
the horror, he dies.
Yeah,
he gets killed, and that was the mission that they showed.
Right.
And, he, you know.
And I guess is that when they stopped, though? Like, they don't really go into saying why... like, why they stopped being superheroes. Because, again, their whole lives could have been completely different if they would have...
Well, they're a mess anyways. Right. Their whole life, they were a mess. So they kind of, like, I think they just broke up like the Beatles.
Right.
I mean, and Seance, I thought, Klaus was his...
So he was Yoko? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I thought he was, like, number five, I thought he was a great part of the show.
Right.
He pulled everybody together for a purpose, you know, and like in scenes and stuff, because he was just so off the wall. He was so much fun to follow. And then, of course, he was your link to horror, number six.
Right, because
he
keeps him in the show.
Right. And I thought he was a great character, too.
He was.
Just always being in the background, and he was like, you know they can't see me, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even the dead guy was fleshed out. Like, all the characters, you know, really, you could feel for any of them. You know, like I said, even the dead guy. You know, he had motivations and, you know, was still contributing to what was going on, even though nobody else could see him. except right. for, you know, seance.
And then they, and then at the end, they could all see him.
Right.
For that one part. Right. So when he punched him and he knocked the pills out of his mouth, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else?
No, not really. I mean, there's lots of little things that I like that we could talk about, but
there's so much.
There's really a lot. Like I said, we haven't really talked about, I guess we kind of touched on it a little bit when we were rating it to Daredevil, but you know, overall, I loved the show. I thought it was really good. Like my wife yeah. and I binged it in two sittings. Like we went through like seven episodes and then we watched the last three the next day. It was really well done. And for a property that I didn't know anything about going into it, I mean, it hooked right. it hooked me right away. And
yeah.
I can't wait for a season two. Like, this thing ends on a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah. So you know. That – and that's why I'm like – I actually want to do season two by reading it first and see how that goes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I did this one the other way. I want to read season two next. And if they even do that, it might not even be. Is it going to be Dallas? Is season two going to be Dallas?
Well,
do
I don't
know that yet.
I don't know because I don't know what Dallas. Like, I don't know what that story is like in the book because, like I said, I haven't read it. But
right.
this really leaves them in a certain. Like, they're in the wasteland. Like, they're all basically all back in the wasteland together at the right. end of this show. So I don't know what Dallas is compared to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it ends basically with her blowing up the moon, causing the apocalypse, and, like, Five, I guess, sucks him in to where, you know, where he was, yeah, you know.
He grabs everybody
and time jumps them all. And we assume.
To anywhere.
Right, we assume.
We don't know where.
Right, we don't know where. But my assumption is that they end up back in.
That's where I saw them
apocalypse.
All as kids.
And
I'm
right, and that's
sure.
where I'm
that's
thinking
where they
that
all showed up as kids.
I'm thinking that they will all be in season two. It's probably going to be a right. whole new cast of actors because I think they're all going to be the kid versions.
Right.
Of
that's
them.
Where I saw that.
So
it wasn't in the book. See, I'm getting it all mixed up.
Right.
But yeah, it was again, it's yeah.
So I don't know where that
you've seen it, but
right.
I thought it was really
so
good.
I don't know what the storyline is in you know, in the book Dallas. If it picks up, because you're saying in the apocalypse suite, they don't even blow up the moon. It doesn't end the same way. So,
well, the moon blows up, but it's not in the same way.
Okay.
A chunk of the moon comes to Earth, but they save it differently.
Right.
So basically, it's Seance stops it.
No.
He basically has the power to stop the chunk.
Okay. See, I'm just wondering if by the time we get to season two of this show, we're way off script. You know what I mean? It might not have anything to do with
right.
with the books anymore.
Right.
Because they've
right.
already kind of diverged quite a bit from that book anyways.
But that being said, the books, I can't wait to
read. Well, I'm not, right, I'm not saying don't read them.
I can't, yeah, read the book.
I still want to read them
all. I'm kind of hooked on these books.
The problem is you just can't get, like right now, Diamond doesn't have them in stock. I can't even get them into the store. Because
really?
The show became so popular that
right.
it sold out and I can't even restock it. I'm surprised, you're lucky you were able to even find them. Because a lot of stores I know are sold out of the books. So
yeah, I got the Friendly Neighborhood's got a bunch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
unless they've come back in, maybe they've come back in.
Yeah,
since the last
they,
time I
they
checked.
They have a bunch. I picked, as a matter of fact, I think when I bought the first one, they didn't have it. They had the second season, so they got a bunch more coming. It came in, so I got the first book, first right. season, like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know they have them all set up.
Okay, yeah,
they have a
there
whole
was
table
a,
dedicated to this and Deadly Class.
There's been stock issues on them, and that's why I don't have them to read right now because I would have already read them. I like the I like the show so much that I would have read the books right away.
Yeah,
Deadly Class. That's another one. Man, I'm really liking that show.
Yeah, I'm behind on that.
I'm
having trouble keeping up with our show, the podcast.
Yeah.
So, so. All right, we want to wrap this up?
I think so. I don't even, I'm afraid to look and see It's only 2 hours and 20 minutes, so not too bad.
I got to edit it.
Yeah.
Take out all your mistakes.
Yeah, of which there's many. It'll only be 80 minutes by the time you're done. Yeah, I know. Mistakes
out. They'll be like, he said it was the 2 hour mark. Right. I'm only at the 40 minute mark. What the heck? No. Hopefully everything recorded okay this week.
I hope so.
All right. You know what I think we should do this week before, as we wrap up?
What's that?
We got to thank the listeners.
For putting up with you?
No, because we don't have a podcast without the listeners.
You're right.
Everybody says
well,
that.
Well, we do. I mean, technically we do.
No, we don't. No, we don't. And it's so funny. It hit me the other day. I was like, because we actually have a following now. We can track it. We see there's people there. And it's pretty cool. And, you know, I've listened to radio shows, you listen to podcasts, whatever, and they always thank the listeners, and they always say, hey, without you guys, we wouldn't have anything, and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then when you're doing it, and, like, you and I have been doing this for now, since October,
right?
It kind of hit home. I'm like, you and I did this in August, and it was called Vacation.
Right.
You know, and then after August, we were like, let's do a podcast, and we talked on the phone, like, every day, but it's not the same.
Right.
And now it's like, this isn't a podcast with all listeners. It's just you and I talking. Right. So it's actually turning into something. You know, we get other podcasts are asking us to show up on their shows, and we're making friends. So it's a blast.
Yeah.
And thanks to you guys. And yeah, thanks. Tell your friends, because the more the merrier. You can all basically listen in to us chit-chatting in a comic book store every week.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I love doing this. This is my favorite part of the week. So, yeah, I guess we wouldn't be doing it if nobody was listening.
Well, we would. Just wouldn't be a podcast. Because we even said that at the beginning.
It would just be recordings.
Yeah, we'll just be there. What'd you say last week? I heard it. No. Yeah, it's cool. It's fun, and supposedly it looks like we're going to be on, or one of us going to be back on to the Bat Pod again. We've been asked. Hopefully we can both make it, but I think it's just going to be me from what you and I were saying earlier today.
Yeah, this week is tough for me, especially tomorrow. So,
but they want to have both of us over there soon because they want to get – they like our takes, and they want to hear. We want to have like a round table with. They want us to have a round table with them.
Yeah,
so.
Love to do it.
I think it would be a blast. Yeah, it would be a blast. They have like same thing. They have the same outlook we do. Positive. They're really good. I don't know how many of their podcasts you listen to, but
just the one so far.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you ever hear them like talk, quote unquote, negative about something, they do it. They're like, yeah, I didn't really like this one, but I saw what he was going for, and it was really good. It's that, you know, like I said with Joey the other night, it's like, it doesn't mean you like everything, just, you know, it doesn't mean you, but you can be positive about it.
I don't like everything, you know.
No.
So.
Took you years to like me.
I know, right? I still don't like you, really, but. No.
But I'm persistent.
That's right. You just keep calling and making me do this. Yeah, so.
Exactly. So, all right, wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right. If we missed anything in Umbrella Academy.
Well, I'm sure we missed a lot, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. I forget that one all the time. We're on Spotify and we're on SoundCloud if you listen on that. And just search any of those. Search The Bright Side Chat. We pop up apparently because people are finding us. They're starting to give us reviews, literally written reviews. That was awesome. Thank you very much. That was Superhero Podcast Review on Twitter. They have some pretty cool reviews on there. And... yeah. Facebook?
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
Awesome. All right. That'll do it. Next week, we're doing Batman Heavy. We're doing the midnight show, and then we will talk about the book after that.
Okay.
So, Detective Comics 1000.
Yep. That's a milestone, folks.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun week. Fun week of editing.
Yeah.
So, we're going mobile, people. See you next week. Yeah, and if you're in, if you go to Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham, stop into the midnight, whatever you want to call it. Midnight
it's a
selling.
Release, midnight release party.
There we go. The midnight release party. We'll be there, and you can come in and say hi. You can talk to us. You'll be able to talk to John. Hopefully, we'll have him up on Skype or FaceTime. You can see him. You can see me. You can actually shake my hand. But so we'll see you next week.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.